Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Isaiah Jacob. The Guardians are looking to snap a four-game skid after falling to the Twins 6-5 yesterday. Cleveland gets another crack at Minnesota this afternoon with first pitch at 1:40. Galvin Williams gets the ball for the Guards. The Reds' offense came alive in an 11-5 win over the Phillies. Cincinnati launched five home runs, including two from rookie Sal Stewart. The Reds go for the series win tonight in Philadelphia with first pitch at 7:10. For Team USA, star attacker Christian Pulisic is expected to miss several weeks after suffering a bone bruise and microfracture in his lower leg during the Americans' final World Cup match against Belgium. And this update is sponsored by Germain Toyota. For unbeatable service and sales, visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome back into another edition of Rothman and Ice. I am Matty Ice. Back in the house today for AR is the one and only Joshua Perry, Olin Tangi's own national champ. TLC's on the board. JP, welcome back, big dog. How you feeling today, man?
Feeling pretty good.
Good.
Feeling pretty good. Glad to be back in here. Excited to get to the show sheet. We got a good show.
We got a fun show lined up for today. So here is the lineup. Bottom of this hour, Michael Pina, who covers the NBA for The Ringer. He's going to hop on to talk all things Cavs, LeBron, Steph's weighing in on all this stuff as well. So 12:30, we'll talk to him about that. He does a great job over at The Ringer with Bill Simmons and all of those guys. So he'll have some good stuff for us. 1:30 for all the college football fans out there. The one and only Phil Steele is going to join the show with the legendary magazine. All the work, JP, that he puts in, it's crazy. Like just all the information that he sits through going back and forth and watching all the games and just telling us about all the new players and all that. It'll be very fun to talk to Phil Steele. Whenever we do this interview with him, I walk away and I'm like, we needed a whole other half hour with Phil. It's going to go by in the blink of an eye, but it's always good to unpack his latest magazine, man.
So much information.
Yeah.
And it's wild because like everybody who is interested in college football, people who cover the sport, like you have that on your desk to start the season. And I don't know exactly how that process goes. I'm excited to hear a little bit about the work that he puts into it.
Yeah.
But the sheer amount of information is insane.
It's insane. Absolutely insane. Very, very impressive. So we will talk to him at 1:30. Again today for you guys, we have a family four-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals, July 10th through the 12th at the Ohio Expo Center. You can check out over 6,000 of the country's coolest hot rods, muscle cars, trick trucks, customs, and more. So if you miss any of this when it comes to our interviews or any of the fun segments we're going to do today, you can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do from noon to three. We'll be waiting there for you. TLC, what's going on, man? How you feeling today?
I'm all good. It's crazy because I feel like I just got here and the week is almost over. But I think if I could have redone it, because we were strategizing, Fish and I were talking about this before the show, I think giving yourself one PTO day after the vacation actually ends, I think that's a sweet spot. I took two, and by day two on Tuesday, I was kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to do for the entire day. Like, I got to get back to work.
Yeah.
So I think the one day is a sweet spot moving forward, but the week's almost over. And so here we are.
No doubt, man. We're almost there, and it's going to be a fun show for sure. Happy Love Island / Big Brother Day to all those who celebrate. This is a massive day in the Ice household tonight. Massive day, man, between the two of these popping off. You don't watch either one. I know you don't watch Love Island, JP.
No.
Have you ever watched Big Brother?
I've watched. It's not for me. My mom watched Big Brother my whole upbringing, so it was always on in the house. Like, I'm very familiar with the show. It's not one that I got into.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to doing the Love Island thing. It's not the fact that I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I watch plenty of trash. It's my favorite genre of television. It's just the idea that the setup in my household to watch it makes me uncomfortable because my mom and my wife watch together.
Okay.
I don't want to watch that with my mom.
Can you slither down to the man cave? Do you have a man cave?
Come on now.
I've never asked you about this.
Of course I did.
You got the man cave.
Yes, okay. I do.
Can you paint a bit of a picture for us?
So I've got
down jerseys are hung up.
So I don't have those done yet. But I've got a handful of jerseys. I've got a Tyvis Powell. Got a Devin Gardner jersey.
Oh.
Which I know a lot of people
that's allowed?
Like, why would you have that? Devin and I have become friends, so I like to support the homies. I've got a handful.
Okay, but as a former Buckeye.
Mm-hmm.
A Michigan Wolverine jersey in your man cave.
I'm 4-0, right? Like, there's no,
okay.
There's no animosity. There's no ill will. I won.
Just hung the gold pants up, and that's the end of the conversation.
I'm good with these guys.
Well, on that topic, does he have a Joshua Perry jersey?
He does. He does.
Oh.
Okay. Yes.
So he's a loser is what you're saying. Because he's 0-4.
You know, this is neither here nor there.
I'll say this about Devin Gardner. I like him on the broadcast late because I feel like a lot of his games they're doing late night. He and Brando,
and they'll
right?
do like Fridays as
yeah,
well.
Like, yeah, I feel like I caught a lot of their like doing Utah games and Arizona State games later. Yep. There's a good energy to their broadcast.
He is energetic. That's a great way to describe him. I respect him though. He puts the work in. Like he studies the game. I feel like there are a lot of guys who do the job that don't actually put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say for him, he does. I worked with Jake Butt as well, another Michigan guy from Pickerington, though, so shout out to him.
Get the high school correct, sir.
North.
Yeah, we not just Pickerington.
Okay, so
we
y'all don't claim everybody from the area?
No.
Because I do.
Because for the longest...
I claim all the Olentangies.
For the longest, all the Pick Central folk, they were just pushing us to the back burner, dominating us in football. And all right. So when we started to come up just a little bit...
Pick North guy.
And carve out our own lane.
The Pick North guys.
Yes, we like that. Identify us as Pick North guys. But Jake Buss is great, too.
Yeah, he's all-time professional. But anyway, so I've got a setup in the front of my house.
Okay.
I've got 4 leather chairs in the room. Got a big sideboard, big wood sideboard. I've got the cowhide rug in there.
Okay.
And then a TV. We've got blackout curtains. So
that's
a vibe where if I want to just get off to my...
time.
Yes. If I want to just be by myself, I'll do that. Then we've got the basement where we've got a nice sectional, the TV, and we're finishing the rest of it. We're going to put a wet bar down there and the whole deal. So I got a couple vibes. Okay. I could do it. But then the pacing gets a little bit messed up, right? Like they might be in a different spot than where I end up finishing. And so the conversation is tough. Like when you know too much about the show, which we're doing right now with Real Housewives of Atlanta, I'm not caught up.
Mm-hmm.
You know more than I do. So the conversation's a little bit choppy.
It's a little off. So here's the thing. Now you might as well just wait until Sunday because Sunday's the finale for Love Island. So let them get it out of the way, get it out of their system, and then you just get the binge watching in the man cave.
All right.
Let me ask you this. Tyvis Powell.
Yes.
Devin Gardner.
Yep.
A couple of the jerseys you got down there. If you could add one jersey to the man cave right now, a guy you played against, a guy that is in the league right now, one jersey that would be in Joshua Perry's man cave that you would love to have?
That's a hell of a question. That is a hell of a question. I would say there are probably a few, and it would be mostly guys that I played with. I played with Joey, obviously, Bosa, here and in the league. So I think it'd be cool to have one of each.
Is he going to retire?
I don't know. I don't think that's ever going to happen anyway, the jersey thing. So we'll take that out of the equation. My guy, Raekwon McMillan, who was one of my favorite teammates, just retired from the NFL. If I threw a Raekwon jersey down there, I'd feel pretty good about that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that, JB. I think a good jersey setting, that sets a vibe for a man.
Yeah.
Having jerseys. I think that's a really good tone setter. I'm not mad at posters either. Like, you want to get some of the old school posters
in the man cave? I can roll with that.
I like that energy as well.
I've got magazines. I'm big on GQ, Esquire.
Okay.
I've got Whiskey Advocate. Cigar aficionado. I go down the list.
Didn't know you were a cigar guy.
Yeah.
Big cigar guy?
Medium
every
cigar.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
But I like having the stacks of the magazines in the area because it makes you look like a well-read kind of, you know, smarter guy because you have reading material in there.
I am a person that doesn't have a problem going back to the jersey stuff. After the games, I know there's some people that get a little irritated by the whole, the jersey exchanges and all that after the game. I don't have a problem with it. I am also a guy, too, where it's like, I don't think you should be super friendly with your opponent before the game. After the game, JP, it's whatever to me. I'm in on all those guys. Hey, you want to link up with guys you play with in college?
This is interesting.
A guy that you used to play with after the game? I don't have a problem with that.
I think a dap before the game, you know, just a what's up, hey, best of luck.
Yeah.
You know, stay safe.
That's it.
I think that is appropriate. Anything more than that is fraternizing in a way that I don't like.
Prior to the game.
After the game,
Yeah.
I'm cool with whatever. Yeah. Like, that's your time to do what you got to do, because you're probably not going to see him until the offseason anyway.
I love the classic picture that goes around. You've probably seen it of, like, I think two guys that were in Vegas. Like, just two normal dudes out in Vegas.
They traded their polos
or whatever.
Yuck!
For partying together.
I don't want nobody's sweaty-ass Vegas polo.
It must have been.
And then you got to throw that in your bag when you travel home. Yuck!
Must have been a hell of a night. Must have been a hell of a night if those guys wanted to do that. Coming up next, Steph Curry. He is now on the record about the possibility of playing with one LeBron James. You will hear that after the break with Rothman and Ice.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a partly cloudy sky for the afternoon. Could be an isolated shower or storm that tries to pop up, but most of that waits for the time being. Highs are warm again in the upper 80s. Scattered showers and thunderstorms develop tonight and tomorrow. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy skies between those rain chances. Highs on Friday in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
Anthony's tennis shorts were so tight, they had to pixelate his crotch. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in. Joshua Perry in the house today. JP, you know, it's been a fun few weeks for the Buckeye basketball program.
Sure.
Some nice additions coming in. Nice recruits coming in. Mm-hmm. Freshmen that look like they're going to be able to get busy right away. And they're going to be on a fun stage, because on October 7th, we're going to be watching the CareSource Invitational right here in Ohio. That is going to include your Buckeyes, the Dayton Flyers, the Cincinnati Bearcats, and Xavier. And so this is going to happen down at the Linder Family Tennis Center, home of the Cincinnati Open. So this will be an outdoor venue, obviously. And if there is inclement weather, they're going to slide this event to UD Arena in Dayton. I'm here for this. The venue itself is pretty cool. I know my dad's gone down there. My dad and AR actually went to the Cincinnati Open a few years ago.
Together. Good for them.
Scotty Vegas was there too. Had a heck of a time. So I believe this is right across the freeway from Kings Island. I don't know.
I'm not a water park, you know, roller coaster guy. Either way, this is cool.
Yeah.
And I like this. And I think you get all these Ohio teams together. This is what a lot of people have been clamoring for over the years, is to see these brands going at it. And I think this is going to be an awesome setting. And I'm just hoping that we get some good weather that day.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, like, exhibition, how excited do you get about that? It depends. But the idea of this is something that we have all outwardly spoken about. Like, we want to see these teams go head to head. We want to, you know, kind of crown the king of Ohio, if you will. So I'm certainly here for that. And the other thing I start to think about is, you know, do you ever expand this, make it a little bit bigger, bring in some of the other Ohio universities to be able to play in a tournament type setting?
Yeah.
But I think it's awesome. I know the pride that people have in this great state, but also just like their individual corners of the state too. I'm excited to see it.
One thing that I'm seeing right here, JP, that I'm not loving is, according to this press release, the CareSource Invitational will not be televised. That's tough.
Well, I guess we got to find our way down there.
So tickets look like they're going to be available soon for everybody to purchase. But I'm hoping that that can get changed in the next few months, because not having that on TV, that's going to be a miss, I think, in my opinion. I'm sure there's so many things that go into TV production and all that. I'm sure they've thought about all that.
Yeah.
But that's a bit of a, I think, a miss right there, to not have this on TV for us to consume.
I mean, they should be able to get that part figured out.
Hopefully.
You and I need to find a way to
Get down there?
Yeah.
Well, you
got to talk to some people.
Get course live for that? You know what I mean?
I don't know about, you know, shoes on the floor, but
okay. Well, you'd rather,
you know, you've got some connections. You go ahead and call a couple people.
I know a couple people. Would you be more of a, let's say, season ticket holder for the Cavs next year? Would you rather have season tickets on the floor or in a suite?
In a suite.
Mm-hmm.
The floor, I feel like, it's an experience, no doubt, but I think that's for people who definitely, like, want to be seen
It's
a flex.
It is.
It's
it
no
is.
Doubt a flex.
Like, you want to be seen as like a part of the action. You're a storyline that is tangential to the real storyline of the game. If you're doing the suite, it's because you value the comfort, the amenities, and the experience of just kind of having your own cocoon to be able to take it all in.
That's where I would want to be.
Yeah.
That's where I would want to be. Because, what do you got?
Tangential.
That's
a big word alert.
No, that's that Olentangy Ohio State education combined in one but right there. We're here for it, though. It's not a bad thing.
Everybody knows
public
the word.
Schools raised him.
They raised me. We know the word tangent.
We
tangential
do.
Is, you know, just a variation.
It's just not a word that's in, I think, everybody's bag on a normal day-to-day basis. That's all. So that's fair. Fire off
somebody
this siren.
Out there wrote that word down after you said it.
Yeah, they're Googling that right now for 100%.
So and it may have been me.
We fire off the siren when there's some good vocab.
Fair enough.
Gets dropped on the show. So, yes, October 7th this year, the Care Source Invitational down at the Linder Family Tennis Center, Ohio State, Dayton, Cincinnati, and Xavier. Should be a good time. Let's get that thing on TV. Please, Steph Curry, you all know him. This is a guy now that is deep into the back nine of his career. They ripped off a championship just a few years ago against the Boston Celtics, and they're just trying to recalibrate out there in the Bay to figure out what they can do to stay on top and keep Steph, Draymond, Jimmy Butler, that core happy and in the mix in the Western Conference. Steph's bouncing around doing a whole bunch of fun stuff. This summer he was out at a golf outing and he was asked about the possibility of playing with one LeBron James out in San Francisco, and here's what he said.
It has been a crazy offseason in the National Basketball Association, free agency trades left and right. There's one free agent out there, LeBron James, and he's shown some interest in being a Golden State Warrior potentially. Any idea or comment on that idea of playing with LeBron James?
Say more so, I'm interested to just play golf with LeBron. We'll handle the basketball stuff, but I want to see the golf LeBron free agent. He's out here really grinding on the game, but I'm sure, you know, we obviously would love to play together. We'd hopefully it happens, but you know, he's deserved the opportunity and the right to take his time with the decision.
The LeBron golf stuff's getting crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like every day something's popping up on my social media feeds of him out there hacking it around. And the swing is getting better. It's getting a lot better. Tristan Thompson did the podcast with Shannon Sharp, Uncle Shay's podcast. And he said that LeBron's trying to be the best ever at golf. So that's where his mind is already. Is you know how you're a professional athlete. Know. You guys set your mind to something. You think you're going to be the best to do it.
It's not a game where you set those types of goals.
Fair. That game is humbling. It will humble you quickly. But it's just so funny because Steph has now mentioned the golf stuff.
Right.
We talked about Rich Paul on the whiteboard the other day. And when he was mentioning one of the Texas teams, I don't know if it was Houston or Dallas, it was oil, it was golf course,
it was
Dallas. So even his agent knows that's what it's about. But I wouldn't be here for Steph and LeBron linking up again if Anthony Davis is going to be a Warrior. But the Steph and LeBron thing, JP, watching those guys during the Olympic run was magical, man.
Yeah.
Like those guys, it's crazy to think about those guys linking up for meaningful basketball. We really don't see that elsewhere. Like, you'll get it in the World Baseball Classic.
Right.
But the NFL will never have anything like that. We'll never have, right, like a Joe Burrow in a competitive game with, I don't know, Malik or Justin Jefferson or something like that.
Right.
With the USA on their chest. So it works. They know it works. I still got the Cavs up top with Philly as my top two teams for LeBron, but I won't complain if it is Steph and the King.
Yeah, I mean, it would be something I think all of us would enjoy. LeBron has outwardly spoken about the idea of wanting to be his teammate, so I know he would be in for it. To me, that feels like the Harlem Globetrotters, but playing in games where they actually matter, where it's a spectacle more than anything else. Like, yeah. Would they be in the mix to win a title doing that? Yes. I think you could probably say like they're not going to be a favorite, but you could put them in the mix. But that's not the reason people would tune in. They would tune in because it's like these are two of the greatest in an era of the sport. And we get to, if they're healthy, we get to watch them together night in and night out. I think the spectacle of it would be amazing.
I love what you said about the health part because I completely agree with you. If you got that team to the postseason healthy, the young teams like the Spurs and the Thunder, Denver to a certain degree, they probably look at them like, I don't know, man. Playing against the Unks in a series, that ain't going to be fun.
It's crafty.
Right.
And you know, smart basketball.
That's it right there. Yeah. From the neck up stuff like LeBron and Draymond and Steph doing all these things just because they played for years and years. I do think they would have a bit of an advantage there, but the journey to the playoffs.
It's going to be a long
with one. All of these OGs, you're just going to have to do a lot of managing minutes and all of those things. This also poses another question. If you're LeBron James, is this the one team that you can't go to because of the history? Is that it?
I mean, that was a decade ago.
I know, but
it feels like a completely different era now.
When you duke it out with that guy
and he won
and that team multiple times in the finals.
I know.
There are going to be some people that feel some type of way about that if it happens.
I think you're right about that, but I just see it as such a different thing. Klay's gone. KD's not there. LeBron got a championship. It's not like he never beat the Warrior mm-hmm. dynasty team. And so to me, it just feels like the time has elapsed and we're in a different era and there are different pieces yeah. that are involved anyway. I couldn't hold that against him.
I saw an argument from Iman Shumpert and Kendrick Perkins, two guys that played with obviously LeBron in Cleveland. And Shump was just like, he cannot do this. Of all the teams that are in the mix, Miami, Philly, Cleveland, he can't pick Golden State because of the history and the rivalry.
And then Perk was like,
Kendrick Perkins, man, it's just, you know what's sad is like when I see him, my mind goes to the moment at the draft where he was butchering somebody's name and I cannot remember the name, but he just could not get it out, man. And he kept going to it and going to it and going to it. It was just like, no, like just go to something else. I think it was Moses Moody was the name, which is a tricky name.
Is it Moses Moody?
Moses Moody. It's like if it's one of those
things. Yeah, well, at least it's an American name.
No, I'm saying like he's so country though.
Right. It's like yeah. one of those names where if you have to say it multiple times in a
right,
row,
right.
it can be a tongue twister. It's
he's
not the
funny,
hardest
man.
Name. To say.
I enjoy watching him because he gives you he does the performance part of it very well.
He does.
But the breathing gets in the way sometimes.
Moses Moody, Moody Moses, Moody Moses. It was just like it was a tough look. But for outside, I'll give him this. For a guy that was not a star player,
mm-hmm.
he's carving out a nice little media career over the last few years. I'm actually surprised he's still cooking at this level. He's been there for a handful of years now, I believe.
Maybe I more. Have a very strong take about non-star players. I think the perspective is better because it was more of a regular perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think the stories are better.
I love that you said that because for a guy like Kendrick Perkins, he's played with Kevin Durant.
Yes.
He's played with Russell Westbrook. He's played with LeBron, Kyrie.
Yep.
And so he's been around some all-timers and been a part of some successful teams. He spent time in Boston, too,
yeah.
with Kevin Garnett and those
it
guys.
It was never his team. Right. So he had to kind of take the, you know, follow the guys.
Yeah.
And I think the perspective is so unique from that.
I don't know if this is a similar argument, but it's something we've heard in the past about how star players sometimes don't make good coaches.
No.
And sometimes you can have the middle of the pack athlete turn into a good coach or a good front office member or whatever it may be, because the star is always going to have the high expectations. How are you not doing this?
Right.
I did it.
It's so easy.
Right. Why are you not doing it? That doesn't work out well. We're going to continue our conversation about the Cavs, LeBron, and a lot more with Michael Pina from The Ringer. He covers the NBA over there for them in 2 minutes. We're Rothman and Ice.
Right. Reserved.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, this is Michael Behrens, Big Red, otherwise known as the Czar of the Parking Lot, and you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1, The Fan.
Oh, man. That you are. Welcome back in. Going to light up the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on Michael Pina, senior staff writer over at The Ringer, does an awesome job covering the NBA. Michael, welcome in, my man. How we feeling?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Appreciate you asking. All right, let's get down to brass tacks when it comes to LeBron. We've got the Sixers, the Cavs, the Heat, Golden State, maybe some other teams lurking in the weed. When you're looking at the draft season behind us, free agency for the most part behind us, the options for LeBron, Michael, in your opinion, what is the best basketball fit for him going into the next year?
It's a fantastic question. It's the million-dollar question. I think the best basketball fit, granted, probably unrealistic for him to actually land there, but I like him with the Denver Nuggets. And I know that is, again, not very realistic. It is technically possible. The Nuggets have basically frozen all their business and awaiting LeBron to make his decision, but I just love him going to a team where he is definitively not the first or second scoring option, where he can take nights off, where he can take possessions off, and really save his body for the playoffs, where he will be on the court with someone who I think is still the best player on the planet, high-level shot makers around him, good three-point shooters, and you know, someone who can commandeer a second unit in a pinch, obviously, because he's LeBron James. So I think the Denver Nuggets are a pretty good destination for him, and just in terms of basketball fit. But there's some other reasonable answers to this question, for sure.
I definitely like where your mind is at on that. Maddie and I were talking about this idea of LeBron being able to go through the stretch run. So that makes a lot of sense. But I wanted to talk about one of the splash moves that happened with Boston moving on from Jaylen Brown. They ended up trading him. And I feel like people were looking at the return and it's like, man, you kind of gave the guy away. But the further we've gotten from the move, I think people are like, Boston's still in a pretty good spot even without him. So what is their outlook, and are they still one of the top contenders coming out of the East?
Yeah, I think that once the shock for me personally wore off on the return, which is not what I think a lot of people who cover the NBA anticipated for a guy who just finished sixth for MVP, I think the Celtics will still be a very good team pending health. I think that obviously Paul George is still a very good player. I think he needs to stay healthy and available for Boston to kind of maximize everything that they've got going for them. But I like their depth at just about every position. I'm assuming that Jason Tatum will look like the first team All-NBA forward that he is. And, you know, I love the center rotation with, you know, re-signing, extending Nnamdi Keita and bringing in Mitchell Robinson with the full mid-level. I thought that that was a really good move for a team that wants to prioritize, you know, a smart brand of basketball in terms of creating as many second chance opportunities as they possibly can and limiting, you know, making shots in the paint incredibly difficult, which Mitchell Robinson, those are two strengths for Mitchell Robinson, who can also put pressure on the rim on offense with his rim rolling, which is an element that they didn't really have last season. So I like Boston quite a bit. I think they're very good. You know, there's a reason why they finished top three, top four on both sides of the ball last year and won 56 games without Jason Tatum for all but 16 regular season games. Very good team, and I think that they will still be a force in the Eastern Conference.
Michael Pina, senior staff writer over at The Ringer, joining us here on The Fan, talking all things NBA. Let's go up to Cleveland, Michael, and bake LeBron back into the conversation just a bit. And I want to present you with this question. The Cavs with LeBron in 2026 are capable of this. Without him in 2026, they're going to be capable of what in your mind?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this quite a bit. I think without him, they've probably taken a step back. And with the step they're taking, they're kind of coming back from is just getting, you know, annihilated in the conference finals by the champion New York Knicks. And I think that the gap between those two teams is measurable. You know, bringing LeBron, you know, I like Dean Wade, for example. Like, losing him, I think, is costly. I know Keon Ellis didn't really play in their rotation too much, but I just like him as a player and someone who could be utilized. But, you know, bringing LeBron in, I don't know what the ceiling of that team is. And we're assuming that obviously James Harden is back and re-signed as well. That is a, you know, LeBron is still very good. And I just gave you a lot of reasons why I liked him in Denver. I think that, you know, the ball would be in Harden's hands quite a bit. The ball would be in Donovan Mitchell's hands quite a bit. I would be very interested to see how LeBron's presence would impact, you know, Evan Mobley's role on offense. That's something that would be very curious to me. I don't know how it would impact that. So I don't know. I've been thinking about it quite a bit and how he would fit there. They would certainly welcome him back with open arms and he would make them better, but I just don't know if it would make them a team that I could realistically pick to emerge from the Eastern Conference.
how much stock are you putting into some of these summer league performances? You know, like I see Darren Peterson's name, you know, smacked all around social media. Like, are you really looking into some of the hype coming out of this, or is this just kind of fun stuff for us to follow during the summer?
Yeah, I think it's a case by case basis. That's kind of how I've always treated summer league. If a guy who's drafted in the top 10 has a bad summer league, I don't care. Darren Peterson, you know, that's someone who I probably would have taken first overall. And I think that the game comes so easy for him, and he fits the modern NBA so perfectly that him dominating in the summer league against, you know, he's playing some guys who were in the NBA last year. It's not like all G League guys and rookies and that sort of thing. He's just effortless brilliance. And so I am putting some stock in watching him dominate because I expect him to be a strong candidate for rookie of the year. And really nothing would surprise me for him in Utah in year one. I just think he's such a special talent. The shot making is unbelievable. He can play on ball, off ball. So just really impressive stuff from him that I've seen so far.
Let's lock in on the Lakers now post LeBron, right? You still got Luka there, who's a force, as we all know, and he is available. But I've seen a lot of people questioning the moves that they made this offseason when they found out that LeBron was no longer going to run it back with him. So when you look at the LA Lakers right now and their future in the foreseeable future, Michael, how are you feeling about what they're building around Luka?
Not great. You know, could be a lot worse, I'll say. But look, I understand the context here and the fact that this was really the only summer where they were able to build as much cap space as they had and to spend it. And you know, I like some of the ancillary pieces that they brought in. The fact that you bring in Walker Kessler at that money and then also give up all of your future draft capital to get him, I think, is just borderline malpractice, to be honest with you. And, you know, if Walker Kessler can't stay healthy, or if he just is, you know, this is someone who has accomplished next to nothing in the NBA, to be honest with you, in Utah. And so throwing him into a situation where, you know, we need you to be the starting center on a championship caliber team is just asking a lot. So I'm interested to see how he fits in, how productive he can be, and if he's, you know, worth that contract. But all that said, Luka is, I have so much respect for Luka, and I think he is such a special talent. And if he were to take everything around him and make it a championship level team, that also would not stun me. He is breathtaking. So we'll see if he can do that. We'll see if everybody, you know, can stay healthy and kind of coalesce around him. But I think generally speaking, you know, spending $450-460 million, you would expect to get a little bit more from what they've got, which is zero all-star appearances, yeah. Which is kind of remarkable.
Yeah, crazy. And he's Michael Pina. Make sure you check out his work over at The Ringer. He is the senior staff writer for them. Michael, appreciate your time, my man, and we'll catch up with you soon. Enjoy the rest of your summer. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Michael Pina joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. JP, you can be the face of the Los Angeles Lakers or the New York Knicks. Which franchise would you want to be the face of?
It's a toughie. I feel like this is going to come down to where I'd want to be.
Okay.
Give me the West Coast.
Yeah. West Coast.
I love New York. It's
those winners.
It's a different world.
Those
there
winners.
Too. New Yorkers are a different kind of people.
Yeah. They're edgy. To say the least. I know a few New Yorkers born and bred. They are very edgy. Big hearts.
Yeah, sure.
But also, they
both of my parents are East Coasters. I've spent enough time on the East Coast now to know that I can take them in doses.
Yeah, a lot of FAFO energy from them. You yeah. Cross them, you're going to find out.
Yes.
You're going to find out. Coming up next, where does Dexter Lawrence rank amongst all the other defensive tackles in the NFL? Scouts and executives around the league have weighed in. We'll tell you where he stacks up after the break with Rothman and Ice.
Reds are on the Fans' family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
JP, it may be a little too hot for lobster bisque today.
I'm allergic.
To lobster?
Yes.
That's unfortunate, man.
I wouldn't know. That's
is it lobster only or seafood across the board?
Shellfish, generally.
Okay.
There are some that I have been able to eat as I've aged.
Yeah.
But I've got a whole list of food allergies. I was that kid at school, sitting at the nut-free table.
Okay.
You know, sliding my glasses up the bridge of my nose. You can't sit here. That was me.
I didn't know you were Steve Urkel.
Yeah. Might as well have been.
Where are you at?
He turned into Stephon Urkel.
Yeah, that's really right.
That's right.
That's a good call. soups, coffee, hot chocolate on warm days. Can you? Because I can't. For whatever reason, there's a mental hurdle for me when it's hot outside. I don't want any of that stuff.
So it's interesting because I got my Sheets iced coffee today. Mm-hmm. But I actually prefer hot coffee, black. But I had a taste for a coffee with some creamer in it.
Gotcha.
And I only do that iced.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter what the weather is.
Okay.
I'll consume it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. My house is also frigid all the time, so it's like it never got hot outside.
Okay. Got to have balance. Life's about balance, right? You got that, right? Warm coffee, got the AC at the crib, you're good.
A little bit too much.
You're good.
On either end, really.
Let's get into so ESPN. They're doing their annual summer releases of the top 10 at positions, right? And I think this is pretty cool to tap into the brains of executives, scouts, people behind the scenes, decision makers, and all of that. And so the position that they locked in on this morning was the defensive tackle spot. And the reason why I think this is fun to look at is because one of the biggest acquisitions this offseason for any team was Dexter Lawrence. You know, getting traded from New York down to the jungle. Bengals give up the 10th pick, and now you get a guy that has been a dominant force in the middle of defensive lines for years and years, now even going back to college. And so Dexter Lawrence comes in right now at number 7 in the minds of scouts and executives. One scout says, quote, "I think he'll be rejuvenated there. He wasn't happy in New York. He's got to keep his conditioning in check, but when he's at his best, he's next to impossible to block," end quote. So that's something that's been out there. When you are part of a bad team, JP, I can understand how it's a grind every day.
Oh, you're just collecting checks.
Correct, right? To go in there, practice, and then show up on Sundays, probably knowing we're catching an L today. To put your best foot forward all the time. Should they do it? Yes, but I understand these guys are humans. Sometimes you're just not going to have it, especially when the environment is bad. And so I think the opposite will happen for him now.
Yeah.
Is that he'll go in there rejuvenated. There's some familiar faces in that locker room that he knows and that he's friends with. That's always, to me, a good start.
I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah.
What could frustrate him is, you know, he's a half a step away from a sack, but the quarterback gets the ball off and it's just a bomb over the secondary's head. That right there is a situation that will have him frustrated.
Yeah, for sure. He is a guy, you mentioned the sack numbers, and this is a position defensive tackle where I don't think you got to get carried away with that, right? Like I don't know if it's in apples to apples comparison like it is for pass rushers. And we even talked yesterday about not going too crazy with sack numbers. We're pressure guys, right? Like that to me is like, how many times are you heating up the quarterback? Because you laid it out yesterday. There's so many ways you can affect the play without getting the quarterback to the ground, right? So Dexter Lawrence, back in 2022, he had 7.5 sacks. In 23, it was 4.5. And then in 2024, it was 9. So he has that ability, right, to get home and get to the quarterback. Last year, it was only a half sack. Let me double check that, make sure. Yeah, so it was only a half sack in 17 games last year. So he played, and he was available, but that goes back to how motivated was he to go out there and be the best Dexter Lawrence. Fair to ask that, but JP, he's shown that he's a guy that can get you a handful of sacks plus when he's right.
No, I tend to agree with that, and I'm hoping that some of the changes that they made this offseason on the defensive side of the ball really come into effect, so you can see a guy like him shine, or you can see him take the attention of two blockers up front so linebackers can fill and the guys on the edges get one-on-one matchups so they can get to the quarterback. One of the things that always scares me when people talk about defensive tackles in particular is the if he can keep his conditioning up. I feel like that is a scary qualifier for me.
First name I thought about was Eddie Lacy.
Man,
Dexter Lawrence is beyond that. He's shown that he can play consistently at a high level, but that was the Eddie Lacy thing is, dude, can he get in peak condition? Maybe not even peak condition.
Once you get behind the eight ball when it comes to that, you're not really catching up in season. Like if you don't get right during training camp or come into training camp already right, it's a lost season.
You're cooked, right?
It's a lost season.
Tough, because I've heard like maybe basketball's easier to play yourself into condition because you have so many games to do it. But to your point, the sample size in football is not that big.
You don't practice that much either. Like in during the NFL season, a lot of the stuff is walkthroughs. A lot of the stuff is half tempo. Mm-hmm. Like guys aren't, you know, you're not conditioning in season. You're not really practicing all that hard because it is, you know, 17 games of physical contact. So if you're not there by the end of camp, you're kind of cooked.
You brought up something that if I am Shamar Stewart, Miles Murphy, Owe, any of these pass rushers in Cincinnati, I would have been jumping for joy when I got the alert that we acquired Dexter Lawrence because of what you touched on. This is a guy that's going to demand multiple bodies, multiple eyeballs, multiple bodies on him, because if you put Dexter Lawrence in one-on-one situations from start to finish, dude's going to wreck the game.
Yep.
So if you're these guys have to take advantage of that this year. If it's not now, I don't know when it's going to happen for a couple of the guys that I just mentioned, because they've shown, okay, like here and there, few and far between, we're going to be able to get home with a guy like Dexter Lawrence. That should become more of a consistent output for those guys.
Well, if I were coaching those guys too, I'd walk into the meeting room and say exactly what you said. We brought this guy in here because of the type of difference maker that he is.
Mm-hmm.
What that means for you, no more excuses.
Right.
Like you have to capitalize on the opportunity. If they're going to double team him and leave you one-on-one, you got to win your one-on-ones. This is what we asked for.
No doubt. Especially when you're talking Miles Murphy, Shamar Stewart, guys that were selected in the first round. Like, it's time to go. It's time to go. A guy like Dexter Lawrence is a force multiplier, to me, in my opinion, with his abilities up front and how that can affect the other levels of the defense via the run, him stopping that, or his pass rush there. So he comes in at number 7, JP. Number 1 on the board is Leonard Williams for Seattle. He's been doing it for a long time. He's 32 years old. The dude's a part of a special team last year since Seattle, excuse me. So he comes in at number 1. Jeffrey Simmons for the Titans at 2. Jalen Carter, 3. Chris Jones, another OG for Kansas City, comes in at 4. And then Derek Brown, who's an absolute monster, at 5. I think Jalen Carter has defensive player of the year upside. He's just in a similar way like Dexter Lawrence. How motivated is he going to be? But going back to watching this man at college, Jalen Carter is different to me. I think he can get in that elite class of defensive tackles in the history of the sport if he has his head on straight. He's only 25 years old, but I think, JP, he has that type of God-given ability right out of the gate.
But even not having the head on straight, that's fine between the lines, right? Like, that's fine when you're on the field. Out in the real world, you got to be a different person.
For sure.
But he is violent. Yeah. He is powerful. He is big. Like, I'm totally with you. Dude is cut from a different cloth.
We had the situation, it was him and Dak last year, right? With the whole spitting back and forth.
The spitting thing to me.
So disrespectful.
Because we saw it when Ohio State played Oregon.
Yeah, I think that was IGB,
yes,
I want to say.
Which, good for him for not fighting, because he seems like the type of guy.
That's about that.
Well, if you disrespect him to that level.
Which to me is like, I would excuse any athlete, if you lose your mind, if somebody spits on you.
It's one of the most disrespectful things you can
completely do. Completely agree. So I said it when we came out on the show that Monday. Everything you just said, JP, his ability in that moment to put the team before himself was really impressive. Because I have to imagine there's a bunch of guys that you're just firing off on that guy for spitting on.
I think I would have lost it. That, it's one of those moments where... Mm-hmm. I don't like using out of body experience. I don't think that exists, but you just kind of lose your mind for a sec.
You can black out.
I would have.
Yeah. And I would have totally backed you on that because I would have understood.
And then I would have come back to reality and be like, wait, what did I do? I didn't do that.
It wasn't me, as Shaggy said. We got some fun news coming out of the college football world this morning because Yahoo, they made an announcement that fantasy football is coming back to the college football world on their platform. So what we're going to do next is we're going to have our own College Football 2026 Fantasy Football Mock Draft. That's coming up right after the break. We're Rothman and Ice. Live better.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Isaiah Jacob. Cleveland will try to put the brakes on a four-game losing streak this afternoon as the Guardians wrap up their series with the Twins. First pitch is set for 1:40 with Gavin Williams getting the nod for the Guards. The Reds are riding some momentum after an offensive outburst in Philadelphia. Cincinnati slugged 5 home runs in an 11-5 victory, with rookie Sal Stewart going deep twice. The Reds look to secure the series tonight when they face the Phillies again at 7:10. In soccer, after receiving some criticism from his performance in Team USA's final game, Christian Pulisic is expected to be down several weeks after suffering a bone bruise and microfracture in his lower leg. He did that during America's final World Cup match against Belgium. More World Cup action continues this afternoon as France squares off with Morocco. Kickoff is set for 4 o'clock at Gillette Stadium. Breaking sports news when it happens on the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Golf team name is Ice Dogs. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Joshua Perry kicking it with us again today. Bottom of the hour, 1:30. Phil Steele will join the program. Talk all things ball. Talk about his latest magazine. So that's always a good one. Don't miss that. Bottom of the hour at 1:30. JP was, for me, I am a huge fantasy football person. So is AR. TLC's in on it, I think, a little bit, right, TLC? You're in on fantasy.
Yeah, I got a league.
He's in that as well. You, not so much?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I've never done it before.
Okay, and it's interesting because I've talked to like a lot of former players, and they don't care about fantasy football. I think it's a former, maybe it's a former player thing. You guys
have no
like
idea. It's never seemed like something where it's like, I want to do this. Some of the stories I've heard, it feels like it's a little bit time consuming. Do you do fantasy baseball?
I do fantasy
so,
baseball.
Like, you don't care for football then, because you are like, I feel like that's a lot of work. That's a long ass season.
It's definitely a grind, but it's a, hey, I'm up in the morning scrolling anyway, set your lineup and it's over. What it also does for me is it fast tracks the summer just a hair. Because I have something every night, every morning to get me going and get through the day and all that. It's sicko stuff. I do football, baseball, and basketball. And now because of this new announcement, I'm going to be double dipping.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
What?
Football, baseball, basketball, now college football.
I'm double dipping in football.
You're
now
sick.
Because of what you just said. Yahoo broke the news today for all of us sickos that on their platform, you are going to be able to play fantasy football on the Yahoo Sports app. Sign me up. I will be one of those people. According to their release today, drafts are going to open on August 3rd, and scoring is going to start with week 1 on September 3rd, and it looks like it's going to be Power 4 teams only. And so, yeah, JP, I'm a sicko. I am a straight sicko, and I will be partaking in this. I feel like I would much rather have this than the betting issues that I hear some people have. Because when you're chasing the high of the betting stuff, that's a scary world to live in. I'd rather live in this fantasy world and just, you know, having some fun that's pretty lighthearted.
Yeah, I don't participate in the betting, and it's exactly for the reason that you said. The betting to me, and I know people have their different relationships, it feels like a combination of a credit card and a cigarette. It's addictive, and it puts you in financial trouble if you don't know how to manage it well. So I just tend to stay away from that aspect.
You're smart. Smart.
I think the fantasy thing partially for former players too is like, you would get a stray tweet every once in a while where you're like, oh, you screwed up my fantasy team. You know, like somebody's just always mad about something you do. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't want to be a part of it.
I don't think it's that serious. I am not one of those people. I'm also a person that doesn't believe in tagging athletes or celebrities.
But will you put their name in the tweet though without tagging them?
No, what I'll probably do is like, I'll put like, the first letter of their first name, a couple of the stars, maybe the first letter of their last name, then a couple of the stars attached to it, and do it that way. I think that's how you got to do
it. So full censorship.
I don't like the snitching under post on social media. I don't like that. When like a player or a coach is getting called out, and then there's somebody like, ooh, Trey Young. Did you see what they're saying under here? Like, get out of here. I can't stand like, that just, stuff.
You're a tattletale for a dude who doesn't even know you.
Come on.
That is hilarious.
That under social media post drives me nuts. We can't be snitching. But what we're going to do, let's have some fun right now because we love fantasy football on this show. So when we saw this, okay, I like, kind of gives me the NCAA video game vibes right there, man. Like I'm waiting in the lobby to pick my team. So it's good DJing right there out of TLC, but let's get into it.
I thought it was going to be like the Fox or CBS theme music when I clicked on this.
This sounds like it's like EA Sports in the game, college football music right here, which is always a good vibe too. So let's rock with this. But we're going to do a mock draft right now for the upcoming college football season, fantasy football style. So JP, you'll get a quarterback.
Okay.
You'll get two wide receivers.
Okay.
You'll get a running back in a flex position.
Okay.
Flex position, you can have wide receiver, running back, or tight end in that slot.
Got it.
That's all you need to know. So, fantasy football's easy, man. You got this. And you'd probably be pretty darn good at it, too, with your knowledge if you got into it. So, TLC, you are the king of setting the draft orders on this show.
Uh-huh.
Who is on the clock?
The order's going to go JP, then you, then me, and then we'll snake it.
Okay. Got a piece of paper around here. Anywhere? You want one? I got one. Just write on it. I'll write on a napkin. I'll be all right. We'll make it happen.
You can't write on a tissue. You'll tear right through it.
Watch me. You don't believe in me?
I really don't.
You don't believe in me?
Here.
My penmanship's
here's a fresh sheet.
You said P4 only?
P4 only. That looks like the settings that are going to be available on Yahoo Sports are going to be P4 only, guys. So, JP, you're on the clock.
All right.
Roger Goodell's waiting for you at the... No, I'm joking.
So they say apparently you're not supposed to take quarterbacks early in these fantasy deals.
I don't know
the conventions. I was doing some reading. All right, so let me go with Malachi Toney as my first guy then.
Ooh, okay.
You know, I feel like he's going to have a lot of receptions. Oh, feel like sure. He's going to put some touchdowns on the board, so I'll rock
Malachi
with him.
Malachi Toney.
Okay. For me, I'm not going to overthink this. I'm going to start right here in our backyard. Give me Jeremiah.
All righty. I only get one running back, so I'm going to knock that out with Q and Lacey.
It's Ole Miss.
From Ole Miss, because his stats looked really good.
Uh-huh.
So I was trying to go figure out which teams run the ball the most and which teams throw the most to find the most gimmicky offenses to just rig this thing. But I can't take Army's quarterback.
Sure can't.
No, because you said power four only. And they don't throw the ball anyway. So I will instead... Which quarterback do I want? I got the entire universe to choose from here. All right, I'll go hard overhead. I'll go CJ Carr. Why not?
Okay. Who's up next?
That's you?
I think it is me. It's me, TLC.
Yes.
All right. I am going to take care of my running back here. Took Lacey off the board, which is a good one. I'm going to go with Ahmad Hardy.
That's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, give me Missouri's running back here. I'm going to knock out my running back right now with Ahmad Hardy, Missouri Tiger, coming over to Team Ice. So I've got Jeremiah Smith and Ahmad Hardy on my board. TLC's got CJ Carr and Lacey on his board. You right now have Malachi Toney. What's your next pick, JP?
That's a good question. All right, let me just knock out my other wide receiver since I have the opportunity here. Let me get Cam Coleman.
Oh, that's a good one. That's going to be my next. That's a good one. Okay, so you're... Well, maybe you're not done at wide receiver
because
you can throw one in your flex.
Who knows?
You've got Cam Coleman, Texas wide receiver,
yes,
off the board.
Okay.
Overrated.
Okay. He always got something to say, doesn't he?
He'll see, man. It's what he does.
Just lean your head back and go to sleep.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me what to do all day.
He got his lick back right there? Yeah. Is that what he got his lick back?
Okay. He thought.
Crowded receiver room in Texas. Probably.
Yeah, it's okay.
Ryan Wingo's there.
Is it me again?
Yeah.
Okay, so then let me go with Darius Taylor for my running back. It's a Minnesota running back. They like running the football. I like the pick.
Okay. Back to me?
Yeah.
Man. All right, I think I'm going to take care of my quarterback situation right now. The question is, which one?
Exactly.
CJ Card's gone. I like that call. My mind is with Arch because of what I think is can happen with the rushing upside.
Shoot, I should have taken him.
The dual threat ability. Dante Moore is an absolute monster, but I'm going to lean into getting a little bit more from the quarterback position in fantasy, which I love to do. And so, Arch, if he can rip off a handful of rushing touchdowns, which I think is in his bag, I think he had multiple last year. And so I'm going to go with Arch as my quarterback. So I've got Arch Manning, Jeremiah Smith, and Ahmad Hardy.
Shoot, I know which quarterback I should have taken now. He's not even good, but he runs the ball. All right, so I'm just discovering that there's some dude on Rutgers named KJ Duff.
Very good player.
Mm-hmm. And his stats were freaky last year.
How'd you just discover him? You not a real college football fan?
I got to be honest, I was not grinding the Rutgers tape last season.
But you don't like playmakers?
I do like playmakers.
He was on my short list.
And you know what? I like that he stayed at Rutgers. I don't know if that's tremendous for his career, but I couldn't name you I couldn't even name you a first Rutgers receiver before the segment started. I definitely can't name you a second one, so there's little competition in that wide receiver room. As you know, we fantasy footballers come up with any justification for our pick. Hey, not a crowded receiver room. He can get all the targets there. All right, so now I got to figure out probably who my second receiver is going to be. I do like tall guys, so Deuce Robinson is an option. I still have this belief in Ryan Williams, even though everybody else hates him.
The drops are terrifying.
They are so terrifying.
I can't believe this has happened to him this way. Because it looked like he and Jeremiah Smith in year one, you're like, these guys are about to be wrecking the sport for the next couple years. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah's been doing that. Not so much with Ryan Williams. Sorry, TLC. But when I hear that name, it's just like, the drops are just inexcusable at this point.
It's okay. Hey, you know what? I have an entire commercial break to think about it.
We will continue our fantasy football, college football mock draft coming up next. Rothman and Ice.
Buckeye Replay this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
Holy Buckeye! This week it's the 2002 edition of Ohio State at Purdue.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a partly cloudy sky for the afternoon. Could be an isolated shower or storm that tries to pop up, but most of that waits for the time being. Highs are warm again in the upper 80s. Scattered showers and thunderstorms develop tonight and tomorrow. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy skies between those rain chances. Highs on Friday in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Bottom of the hour, 1:30. Phil Steele stopped by. Preview the 2026 college football season. If you're just now hopping on the train with us, this morning, Yahoo announced that they are going to have available for all of us fantasy football lovers, fantasy football for college. And so what we've been doing is a mock draft, fantasy football style, for the upcoming 2026 season. So JP's in the house for AR, TLC's here, and obviously I'm here. And we've got a few picks already off the board. So JP, your team shaping up in the form of Cam Coleman, Texas wide receiver, Malachi Toney, Miami wide receiver, Darius Taylor running back for Minnesota. My team so far, Arch Manning at quarterback, Jeremiah Smith at wide receiver, and Ahmad Hardy, Missouri running back. TLC's team so far, we've got CJ Carr at quarterback for Notre Dame, Kawan Lacy running back for Ole Miss, and KJ Duff wide receiver for Rutgers. All right, TLC, who's up?
All right. I figured out which receiver I'm going to pair with KJ Duff. I did not know who KJ Duff was before this segment. I do know who this guy is because I'm going to do the very, very typical sports media member thing. I've watched a guy play one game and he was really good, and I'm basing my entire opinion on him based on that one game.
Love it.
Mario Craver destroyed Notre Dame.
Okay.
Casey Concepcion is no longer there.
Okay.
So the lead dog for Texas A&M is going to be former Mississippi State Bulldog Mario Craver, and he is now joining my team.
Okay.
He's really good.
Sneaky in the cut.
At least, you know, the one game I watched.
Saw. Back to me?
Yes.
Back to me. So I have a flex spot and a wide receiver spot available. So I'm torn here, JP. Two guys that play for the same program that are in the same room. And I don't know which one to pick, but I'm going to bet on who I think has a bit of a higher ceiling this year. And I'm going to go Indiana wide receiver Nick Marsh.
Interesting.
With my next pick. Transferring in from Michigan State.
Yep.
He's in a better situation. Josh Hoover comes in as their next quarterback. I trust Cignetti in having things in order on offense.
Well, he and Cignetti got off on the wrong foot.
They did. They did.
Wore the wrong colored cleats to practice.
Cleats.
Yeah. We got to figure it out now. And there's no Elijah Surratt anymore.
Yep.
There's none of those. Cooper's gone as well. And so I'm going to go with Nick Marsh, former Michigan State Spartan, now an Indiana Hoosier, and add him to my playmakers.
I had him and Becker both on the list, so I can respect the pick. All right, so I'm going to go two picks back-to-back here. So I need a flex and I need a quarterback. I'm torn on the quarterbacks because Trinidad Chambliss feels like somebody who I might want to select. But we talked about him. He is super, super high volume. He is a guy who can score touchdowns with his arm and his legs in the red zone. And Big 12 defenses aren't necessarily known as the best. How about a Drew Mestemaker?
Okay, I'm here for it.
How about that?
Okay, and for the folks that don't know, kind of paint the picture of who he is and why we may be hearing that name throughout the fall and winter.
He is a quarterback who can make all the throws on the field. Yep. I think he led college football in passing yards last year. He protects the football pretty well. I mean, he's going to rise up the draft boards, but as a prospect here in our little fantasy draft, I like it.
Okay, you have one more, then your team's complete.
All right, and so then for my flex, I'm actually going to go with a tight end here. I'm going to go with Tre'Dez Green, who plays for LSU. This guy is a 6'7" tight end who was pretty good last year in an LSU offense that wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Lane Kiffin coming in and what he's going to be able to do to elevate that offense.
Yeah.
Having a 6'7", 240 weapon for a guy like that just feels like production to me.
I'm here for it. Getting a piece of the Lane Kiffin offense, I totally understand, right? That those offenses are fun. They get up and down the field. And they seem like they're always putting up a nice amount of points. All right, I got one more spot. It's my flex spot. And I'm in the headspace right now of wanting to be attached to what should be one of the better quarterbacks in the sport. And that is Dante Moore. And so I'm going to go with DeCorian Moore, wide receiver for Oregon in my flex spot. And so he was the number one wide receiver in the 2025 recruiting class, five-star guy. He's had some moments where he's flashed, but I think it's going to come together this year. And so Evan Stewart's no longer there and all that stuff. He was dealing with an injury. And so I'm going DeCorian Moore and getting a piece of Dante Moore, because that's kind of how I think too of fantasy, right? Like if I can't get Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen, let me get pieces attached to those quarterbacks and try to find some stuff there. So yeah, I'm done, TLC. DeCorian Moore, my last pick, Oregon wide receiver.
All right, so I'm trying to figure out who my final selection is going to be. There's a North Texas transfer who's following, because what's the name of the head coach that went North Texas?
Eric Morris?
Eric, I almost said Chad Morris, which would not have been correct. So yeah. We'll call him Coach Morris. That's a safe play. He's going North Texas to Oklahoma State. And so you mentioned Mestemaker, who's following him there. There's a receiver who had 1,200 yards last year for North Texas. But I'm not sure. He's transferring as well to Oklahoma State. I don't know. Something about the guys who are transferring from the group of four to the power, or group of five to the power four, that's just, I don't know if I can fully commit to that. And then I looked up a picture of him and kind of looked like a boy band, or didn't look the part. Not what I'm looking for on my team.
More Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, what's the vibe?
He just looked like Cole and he doesn't want to take him.
No. I wouldn't want to take me either. So I will go Deuce Robinson. Was kind of flirting with that earlier. Cool. I think he came into college as like a 6'6 tight end prospect. And went to USC and became a full-time receiver and then had 1,000 yards for Florida State last year. So right. Deuce Robinson, come on down.
There it is. Fantasy drafts in the books. TLC's team. CJ Carr from Notre Dame. Lacey running back for Ole Miss. And there, KJ Duff, wide receiver, Rutgers. Mario Craver, Texas A&M, as another wide receiver. And then Deuce Robinson, JP squad. Drew Mestemaker, quarterback, Oklahoma State. Cam Coleman, Texas wide receiver. Malachi Toney from the 305 as well. Darius Taylor, Minnesota running back. And Tredez Green, LSU playmaker in his flex spot. My team, Arch Manning, Jeremiah Smith, Nick Marsh, Indiana wide receiver. Ahmad Hardy, Missouri running back. And DeCorian Moore, Oregon wide receiver. You know, you guys brought up something that I think's interesting. And by the way, Phil Steele, in 5 minutes, he'll join us to talk all things college football. If Eric Morris has success, JP, are we going to see more programs trying to go down this path? Smaller program, gets his opportunity, brings a bunch of his guys with him, because that will end up being, oh, well, Cignetti did it, and now Morris is doing it. We know in sports, everybody tries to follow the trend. Do you think that will become a thing if Eric Morris has Oklahoma State in the mix this season?
We talked about this yesterday, where I think the conventional wisdom of who is the best coordinator from the best team, or like the best coordinator from the best offense or defense, and let's hire them. That doesn't always make sense to me, because being a head coach, and especially in college football in this day and age, is so much more than that. And we've watched with other programs. Indiana is the biggest example because of what Cignetti did, how quickly he did it, winning a title. But like, you know, Kansas State, for example, I think the head coach that they had, Klieman, before he left, he was a guy who came from lower levels and went right there and was successful and built like a very stable program right away in a place outside of one era that really doesn't have success, right? Yeah. And so I think there have been examples. If Morris can do it, I think more people will do it. If Chesney at UCLA can get that thing rolling, I think more people will look at it. But I have always thought that there was a lot of value in watching a guy actually have success doing the job you want him to do at a lower level, rather than just saying like, oh yeah, dude is really good at calling plays. Let's just give him the keys to a whole freaking program.
Yeah, Eric Morris. At North Texas the last couple of years, as we mentioned. Prior to that, he was at Washington State as their OC and quarterback coach. And I wonder if that was Cam Ward. I wonder if that timeline matches up. Either way, prior to that, Incarnate World at Texas Tech for a while.
Yeah, so that probably was the Cam Ward. Yeah, he came from
Incarnate World to Washington State. So that makes sense. So he's probably been on the map for the last couple of years, kind of, you know, deep in the football weeds, if you will, for some people, as a guy to watch out for. Now here he is with his opportunity at Oklahoma State to try to get that thing in order. Coming up in 2 minutes, Phil Steele. You know the name. You know the magazine. He broke down the Big Ten. He broke down what's to come for Ohio State and a lot more. We'll pick his brain on all of that right after the break. We're Rothman and Ice.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
You're listening to Roastman and the Icebreaker right here on 97.1. The Fanification.
Let's go. Let's go. We're going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on the one and only Phil Steele. You know him well. His college football preview magazine is the best out there, in my opinion. Phil, welcome in. How you been, sir?
You know, I am doing great. How about you gentlemen today?
Doing well. Former Buckeye Joshua Perry in the house with me today, Phil. Let's start with the Big Ten. And I know you grind the tape. You study all these players. You're talking to all these different people. When you looked at everything that happened in the offseason that's going to get us ready for another season of Big Ten football, Phil, how did this thing lay out for you as far as where you think the Big Ten Conference is headed in 2026?
Well, I'll tell you what, it is talented. You look at the top. We've got Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, all legitimate national title contenders. And then even look at the next rung at teams like USC and Michigan. I think USC could surprise some folks and enter into that mix this year. They've got a much improved defense. They've got an explosive offense. And Michigan, they looked like they were in big trouble. Who's going to be the head coach? Who's going to be the head coach? And then getting Kyle Whittingham, I think, topped all those names that were thrown out at the end. He's the perfect fit for Michigan, and they now have a veteran quarterback. So I think we got some really, really good talent at the top of the Big Ten once again this year.
So you mentioned Kyle Whittingham, Matt Campbell, new to the conference, Bob Chesney at UCLA, and then Pat Fitzgerald at Michigan State. Which one of those teams is poised to maybe make the most noise in year one under their new coach?
The two that I would pick out, number one would be Michigan. I think they have the best record this year of that group. You know, Kyle Whittingham steps into a really good situation. It's the exact type of team he likes, with a strong offensive line, strong defense, and good run game led by Jordan Marshall, Kuzdal, and Hitter, who will keep your eyes on Savion Hitter, my number one rated running back out of high school. I expect big things out of him. Michigan does have to play a tough schedule. They have to play Oregon, Ohio State, both on the road and in Indiana at home, but I think Michigan's a really talented team. And then Penn State. And Penn State's got a couple things going for them. First of all, they lost a lot to the transfer portal, but they also gained a lot from the transfer portal. And I'm a huge Matt Campbell fan. He did wonders at Iowa State, get the most out of that team on a yearly basis. And when you look at them this year, he brings over all these Iowa State transfers with them, including Rocco Becht at quarterback. He brings in Hansen at running back from Iowa State, Burkle and the entire receiving core, basically. They're strong at the line of scrimmage and on defense. And then, unlike Michigan, they get the benefit of the schedule this year. When you look at Penn State, they avoid all three of the big boys. And, I mean, Oregon, Ohio State, and Indiana, they do not have to play a single one of them. They do play Washington on the road and Michigan on the road. But I look for improvement record-wise for Penn State.
Phil Steele joining us here on Rothman and Ice. All right, Phil, let's lock in on Ohio State and what you found out about them when you did your research. I know there's some new faces. So hit us with your thoughts on the schedule, the roster, and what you think is on deck for Ohio State in 2026.
Well, I think they have the best offense in college football. You start with Julian Sayin. Last year he was a freshman and did extremely well. One of the nation's leaders in pass efficiency. He's extremely talented, becoming more of a vocal leader. And I look for him to have a massive year and be a Heisman contender. Then you look at the receiving core. This is sort of a broken record. Best receiving core in the country, led by Jeremiah Smith. And naturally, they've got plenty of talent behind them there. You look at the offensive line. You know, the offensive line, a little bit of a question mark for me last year at times. I think the offensive line this year is a legitimate Joe Moore Award contender. I'm on the committee, and I can tell you that I'm looking at Ohio State as one of the top offensive lines in the country. And then running back, they've got Bo Jackson back, 1,000-yard rusher. They've got good talent there. I like the pickup of Jacoby Jackson coming in from Florida, as well as Zay West being in the backup role. So I think it's the most explosive offense in the country. Now, defensively, they always lose some key players. Last year, they were replaced and number one, number two, and number five picks off the D-line. This year, they're only replacing a number two and a number six. I like the D-line. My question mark would be at the linebacker spot, where they've replaced some really, really talented guys. You know, a number one draft pick in Sonny Styles, number one draft pick in Avril Reese, and then a number five in Styles. So the linebacking core is probably my biggest question on the defense. The secondary is strong, and the special teams are strong as well. You look at the schedule this year, tougher than last year, which actually could be a positive when it gets to the postseason. I thought last year the softer schedule didn't really prep them maybe for the postseason. This year they've got to play Texas on the road, Iowa on the road, Indiana, USC, and even Nebraska is going to be a tough game on the road. They host Oregon, host Michigan. This year's schedule massively tougher than last year. I rate it number six in the country. But, as mentioned, that may make them better prepared for the postseason this year. So, naturally, Ohio State, national title contender, and love the offense this year. I think it's the most explosive offense in the country.
When you looked at last year in the Big Ten, a lot of the commentary was about how strong it was at the top, but maybe the middle class not being as strong. Where would you rank the depth of the Big Ten as a conference coming into this year?
I think it's improved this year. Take a look at a couple of teams. Minnesota, I think, is stronger. You know, going over the squad with P.J. Fleck like I did this year. I know they went 5-4 last year, but they're actually minus 142 yards per game in Big Ten play. I think they're a stronger team, both sides of the ball. Wisconsin, under Luke Fickell, will have a vastly improved squad this year. And, you know, even a UCLA. Love the pickup of Chesney as the head coach. Love the guys he brought in with him from James Madison. We're not going to see an Indiana type of thing when they brought all those James Madison guys in, but we will see a vastly improved UCLA. And remember Maryland last year, they got off to a great start last year, and then all of a sudden they lost a whole bunch of close games in a row and then just sort of collapsed down the stretch. This is a big year for Maryland, and I think they are a much improved team. So I do like the depth of the Big Ten. I think if you're looking for bowl caliber teams, you probably go 15 deep this year.
Phil Steele joining us here on Rothman and Ice to talk about the upcoming college football season. Phil, let's slide down to the SEC and paint the picture of what you think that conference is going to look like this year.
It is outstanding, just like the Big Ten. I think those two are clearly head and shoulders above all the other conferences of college football. It's not really even that close. When I look at the SEC, I see Georgia, one of my top homegrown teams heading into the year. They eliminated a couple of question marks. One was inexperience at quarterback, which they had last year, but Stockton did well. Offensive line is stronger this year, and defensively, they have my number two rated defense in the country heading into the season. Now, they do have to play Bama and Ole Miss both on the road, but I think they've got a great shot, not only repeating as SEC champs, but going further in the playoffs. Remember, they were one of those bye teams that lost in round one last year. Texas, you know, Arch Manning had all that hype last year, and now this year, they got the same hype, but he's got a better supporting cast. Last year, he only had one returning starter on the offensive line. This year, it's a veteran unit. Last year, his top running back had less than 600 yards rushing. This year, they had a 1,000-yard rusher from NC State and Hollywood Smothers, a 1,000-yard rusher from Arizona State and Relique Brown. They're better there. You look at the receiving core, they return Ryan Wingo, but they add in Cam Coleman. He's got a better supporting cast, and I think Manning will be a Heisman contender this year. Defensively, they're loaded. Now, Texas's schedule better because they don't play Ohio State on the road. They get them at home. They get Ole Miss at home, which is big. And you look at the toughest road games, LSU and A&M. I think they've got a great shot of getting to the top. And the rest of the SEC, I mean, Bama, I think is going to surprise some folks. They won't be preseason top 10 for the first time since 2005, but they're my number one surprise team. The Oklahoma is a playoff caliber team. Ole Miss is a playoff caliber team. A&M is a playoff caliber team. It is a tough league, as always, much like the Big Ten.
So when you look at the other two power conferences in the Big 12 and the ACC, what are the teams that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, in the ACC, I think the most talented team is Miami of Florida. Their question mark would be probably the offensive line, which lost a lot from last year, but their head coach is Mario Cristobal, who always develops a good offensive line. They bring in Darian Mensah from Duke and his wide receiver, Cooper Barcade, as well, to go along with Mark Fletcher, Malachi Toney. They're absolutely loaded. I think Miami's the most talented team, and believe it or not, they haven't won an ACC title since 2004. They've never won an ACC title since joining the league in 2004. I think they get one this year. Their main contenders are going to be three teams, SMU, Clemson, and Louisville. Those are the top three contenders, but I think it's Miami of Florida there. Now, the Big 12, you know, when I wrote the magazine, there's all this Brendan Sorsby stuff going around. I really didn't expect Brendan Sorsby to play. I was about 85% sure he wasn't going to be there. So when I wrote the magazine, I was basing it on him not being there. So nothing has changed in my Texas Tech outlook. This is a team loaded with talent. If you watch the Big 12 media days or the first team all-conference team, they have five players on the defense on first team all-conference. They've got one of the best running back cores in the country, one of the best offensive lines, and a great schedule. Their road games are against Oregon State, Colorado, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, and Baylor. They're going to be at least a touchdown favorite in every single game this year. I'm still very bullish on Tech despite losing Sorsby. BYU, I've talked to Kalani Sitake for 11 years. This is the best team he's put on the field. If you watch these guys, they are massive at the line of scrimmage. Their offensive line, defensive front seven is huge. They do lose Jack Kelly, a linebacker, but they bring in Kate Olave from Cal at linebacker, so they're in great shape. Bear Bachmeyer, a fun quarterback to watch, wears number 47. The other two top teams in the Big 12 contending contending for the absolute top are Utah and Houston. And both teams, I think, are in contention to get to the Big 12 title game. But my favorites are Texas Tech and BYU in the Big 12.
All right, Phil, we'll get you out of here on this one. Hit us with your final four and who you believe is going to be the national champ this year.
Final four this year, I am going with Notre Dame, which has really got a great shot at getting there after being left out of the playoffs last year. They've got the veteran quarterback, now veteran quarterback, in C.J. Carr. They've got my number one rated offensive line in the country. They've got my number one rated defense in the country. And you look at their schedule, there's only two games I have them less than a double-digit favorite, and that's at BYU and home against Miami. I got the Irish making the playoff, or making the Final Four. We talked about Georgia. We talked about Texas. Both those teams make my Final Four. And then some team you guys might be familiar with, Ohio State. I've got them making the Final Four as well. My championship game, though, is Notre Dame against Georgia this year. I got them number one against number two. And I went with the Irish overall to win it all. I think they'd be in the best shape after the season, maybe the healthiest of any team. And I think they can do it all this year. But I tell you what, much like we've seen the last couple of years, Miami barely made the playoffs and ended up playing in the national title game and nearly winning it. Once you get to the playoffs, it's anybody's game.
Phil, you just made our producer's day as you were mapping out that Final Four. And Natty, he is a Notre Dame fan, so he is grinning from ear to ear over there right now. Phil, as always, we appreciate your time. We will definitely be checking out your preview magazine, and we look forward to catching up with you down the road. Thank you, Phil.
Hey, a lot of fun talking football with you guys today.
Same to you. Same to you. There he goes. Phil Steele joining us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Let's react to that next. Phil's Final Four right after the break. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the
Apple. Join our degenerate gamblers, Dave Biddle at Scotty Vegas, every Sunday morning at 9 for On the Money.
Presented by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today or go online at KriegerFord.com. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we got 2 words for you.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back. Phil Steele just joined us. If you missed it, don't worry. You can always catch up on that and anything that we do wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to three will be waiting there for you. So, JP, he left us with his Final Four, his national championship game, and obviously his national championship winner. His Final Four was Georgia, Texas, Notre Dame, and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
His national championship game was Notre Dame taking on Georgia and Notre Dame winning it this year. And when he said to me, because I'm in on C.J. Carr, I see the vision. You saw it last year. You're like, this dude has the goods. He gets himself in the lab another all season. The game's going to slow down for him. His talent can take over JP, and I think he can be a dominant force. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
With C.J. Carr?
Absolutely.
What really opened my eyes is when Phil continued and said, they're my number one offensive line.
That doesn't shock me necessarily.
Doesn't shock me, but I love that combination.
Yeah.
When you have that, an elite quarterback behind what could be a Joe Moore award winning unit up front, that's a phenomenal place to start. And their schedule is not that
tough. The schedule is the thing there. Like, they're going to be in the playoff just based off the fact that they don't play anybody really during the regular season. I agree with the offensive line. I've watched those guys. I've watched them work for the last couple years. I think they're well coached. Like, development obviously is the biggest factor there. And so every once in a while you hit some ups and downs, but they've been a pretty consistent group. I think they took a step with their weapons a year ago too, because for a while Notre Dame, it was like, okay, run the ball. You got a good offensive line. You don't have anybody who takes the top off of a defense. And I think they're starting to build into that a little bit more to pair with Carr. So,
yeah.
I know a lot of people look at Notre Dame and they're like, I'm never picking them to win a title because I've not seen them win a title. And I think that can be fair. But if there's a shot this year, it feels like they've got as good of a shot as ever.
How do you feel about the Mylon Graham and Quincy Porter situation up there in Notre Dame right now?
What do you
mean
by that?
Do you see those guys as immediate impact players in year one?
I think they can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's tough when you're here and you've got to be patient here and you still want to get paid maybe in line with what other guys in your class are getting paid that have played a little bit more, right? And so there are a lot of factors that would lead players with potential, could be breakout players, to say, I'm going to try somewhere else. There's not going to be that much resistance for them to get on the football field at Notre Dame. Like, they're going to walk in and immediately be guys that can play for them. So it's just a matter of the development that takes place for them throughout the offseason.
If you're Julian Sain, do you take those moves a little personal? Is that added motivation for you in the offseason? Because you said something about opportunities for those guys at Notre Dame. You could have made the case when Chris Henry was kind of going back and forth and all that. Those guys could have looked at the landscape here and said, there's opportunity here.
Right.
They clear. Now, it's probably rooted in money.
Always business, never personal.
Always that. But if you're Julian Sain, I would take that a little personal, that you're choosing CJ Carr over me, and I was a Heisman finalist a year ago.
I would take it personal in the sense of the guys that are here are the only guys that matter. And then I'd just kind of be done with it. I don't know if it was a choice of I want CJ Carr throwing me the ball, or of these cats are offering me $150,000 or $200,000 more than I would get being here because I haven't played here. Mm-hmm. And at Ohio State, they want you to prove production before they give you the big raise. That could just be the situation.
Right. I think it's probably rooted in that. They would have been fine either way because both these quarterbacks are really, really good. But we know how certain athletes can get.
I don't know if Julian is that level of petty.
That's what I'm saying. Certain guys like this type of thing. Yeah. Like, you watch Draymond Green go about his business. He needs these type of things to get him going. Some guys probably don't care. To your point, Julian's a chill dude from Cali. He probably doesn't care too much. And he's like, hey, I wake up every day and I get to throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith and Chris Henry and all these guys.
Right.
So life's pretty well good down here as well. You mentioned the Notre Dame schedule. It's a neutral site game right out of the gate against Wisconsin. And then after that, JP, is it the Miami game?
They've got BYU, I believe.
But other than that, it's at BYU October 17th.
Yep.
The Navy game, I guess.
No,
that's what I'm saying. I don't think so either. So it's really at BYU and then home against Miami. Yep. And that's it.
Joshua, I'll still be watching you.
Appreciate you.
I don't know if many others will with that schedule, but
that Miami game, we're going to get a monster number for it. But yeah, the rest of them, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll be watching you and Nicole and
Chris Sims.
Is he still on it?
My guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris is awesome.
Yeah, I didn't know if he.
No, there were some changes, but he wasn't one of them.
Okay, good.
Okay,
because I like him.
He's just sliding from the NFL to college football stuff, right? And he's still doing his NFL.
Yeah,
podcast,
he's doing Sims Unbuttoned, and he's doing pro football talking.
Oh, he's still with Florio? Okay,
yeah.
One of my favorite mofos in the world.
That's right. That's right.
So now the NFL NBC team in studio: Maria Taylor,
yes;
Mike Tomlin,
yes. McCourty, I believe, is
McCourty.
Still.
Which one? Devin? Jason? Sure. One of the McCourty twins.
We're not in the office at the same time. I don't know these guys.
One of them, and out was Dungy.
Yes.
Tony Dungy, Rodney Jason. Harrison. Yeah.
No, I think Jason's still bopping around. JG.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Made man.
Okay. Is young Collinsworth still there?
It's a great question.
Jack with a C, right? Yeah. I think he's JAC.
Just JAC. I'm not sure.
Just as long as he's not doing play-by-play.
Has a lot of food allergies, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I learned this. And we were at Media Days. This must have been 2023, maybe. And we were all in Indianapolis together for the first time. And so we go to St. Elmo's, and they had a room. We walk in, so they're getting ready to take everybody's orders. And they do the whole presentation. This is how we do whatever. And then, which is awkward to do with the whole group, because there are like three tables of people, and I had never met these people before. They're like, does anybody here have any food allergies or dietary restrictions?
Wow.
And I'm like, yes, my body is the one that rejects peanuts and shellfish. Like, what kind of loser in front of the whole group has to admit that the first time meeting people?
I know.
That was a little self-conscious.
That's tough putting you on the spot like that. But then you saw his hand go up and you said, I'm not alone.
Yes. But I wish it was like Maria's hand, not Jack's.
I don't think I'm allergic to anything. However,
congratulations.
However, JP, whenever I eat pineapples,
you get a little tingle in your mouth.
No, my stomach. I think it's the acid in pineapple. No other fruit does that.
Interesting.
So I think I'm allergic to pineapple.
You got a little intolerance.
I can drink pineapple juice though, but eating
mix it with the tequila.
Yeah, man. That's a win.
It's a hell of a combo.
It's always a win.
That's right.
But I feel bad for you, man. A peanut allergy is tough. You can't have Snickers.
You know,
can't have any of that.
Here's why people should never feel bad.
Why?
I've never had them. I don't, so you know. Don't know. I don't know what I'm missing.
But I know. So I feel bad for you. And I know how much you love cooking and eating and all that stuff.
I've done A-OK in the eating department. Let me tell you. Let me tell you.
There's more out there. I'll take care of it for you, though.
All right.
Well, actually, TLC will. TLC, what'd you have this morning? A donut?
I did have one.
What kind of donut?
It was a small one. I don't know, but it was good.
You can't describe it. You have no idea what you consumed. You just threw it in your mouth and mindlessly ate it.
It had these like, yeah, that's honestly the best. I don't know how to describe
it. See, this is what I was talking about.
What?
With people being untethered from their consumption.
I'm not good at foodie radio.
No, but I'm saying like he's basically just ate the donut and is like, I don't even know what it was.
It had something.
That's why everybody needs flavor blasted this, and we need all these fancy different donut flavors. Throw the bacon on top of the donut. That's the reason why.
Flavor blasted goldfish.
Yeah.
Fire.
I have a whole thing about this. Nobody likes simple foods anymore because we don't pay attention to what we're consuming, so we don't really taste it. So you need to eat something that wakes you up.
Okay.
And that was you with the donut, and you couldn't even get that.
Hmm.
He might be on to something. Coming up top of the hour after an update. The NBA looked at the NFL and said, y'all had a cheating scandal? We need one too. We'll talk about it next. We're RothmanandIce.com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Isaiah Jacob. The Guardians are back on the field this afternoon trying to avoid a fifth straight loss as they wrap up their series with the Twins. As we check in, Cleveland right now leads 1-0 in the middle of the second. Gavin Williams got the start for the Guardians. Down in Cincinnati, the Reds will look to build on one of their best offensive performances of the season. Tonight, they took a pounding yesterday. They beat the Phillies 11-5. Rookie Sal Stewart led the charge with a pair of long balls. Cincinnati goes for the series victory tonight at 7:10 in Philadelphia. In soccer, U.S. star Christian Pulisic is expected to be down several weeks after suffering a bone bruise and microfracture in his lower leg during the Americans' final World Cup game against Belgium. And at the FIFA World Cup, the quarterfinals continue this afternoon with France taking on Morocco. Kickoff is set for 4 o'clock at Gillette Stadium with a spot in the semifinals on the line. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
Final hour of the program on a Thursday. Joshua Perry in the building today. We also have this hour, a family, 4-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals, which are happening July 10th through the 12th, so this weekend. So you never know when we'll drop it like it's hot, so stick with us in the final hour of the program. JP, put a percentage on this question that I have for you. This morning, what percentage of sports fans knew the name Jacob Toby?
This morning?
This morning. When they woke up, if you said
less than 1%.
The casual sports fan. Do you know who Jacob Toby is?
I do now.
We do now. We do now. I probably would have put the percentage at 5. And that's just for the fan base that he used to work for.
Yes.
No longer. So Jacob Toby, the reason why his name is going to be probably all over your social media feeds today is because he was the radio play-by-play announcer for the San Antonio Spurs. This was supposed to be an up-and-coming guy in the business. He was ranked as one of the top guys that we're going to be hearing for years and years and years.
Well,
I don't know if that's the case, because Jacob Toby, his girlfriend, took to his Instagram to let the world know that her boyfriend was a cheater. And not only was a cheater, but cheated with one of the Spurs players' sisters. So she hacked, apparently, his Instagram.
Yes.
Put up on his story the following. This is my girlfriend of 6 years, but I cheated on her with Lauren Waters. Tagged her in the post.
Mm.
So feel free to continue following me if you really think I am a good guy because I'm not smiley face.
Lord.
Tough.
She put a couple up there. Because I saw when this was happening, like people were tweeting it in real time, like what was going on with screenshots. And then they put the before and after screenshots because she changed the caption of a photograph that was in his feed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he changed the caption back after he got back control of his Instagram account. She wasn't playing.
Nah.
She was done with the bull.
Finito. It's a wrap. And so this guy, and I said radio. I'm not 100% sure. I'm seeing lead play-by-play announcer. I don't know if that was TV or radio. Either way, this is one of the biggest fumblings of a bag I've seen in recent history. Because this guy is young in age, but it's the team that he was calling games for.
Yes.
That could have launched him into a whole bunch of success, I think, for years to come. And it may have just been with San Antonio and San Antonio alone. Because if you are in your mid-20s and you get a hold of a job like this, you're happy with any team, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But what sweetens the deal is when you're a part of a team that just made it to the finals and has Victor Wembanyama attached to it as well. And so I know he has to be sick about this because he probably grinded really, really hard to get to this point, got the job, and had one of the most coveted jobs in the entire association, and that job is no longer available for him.
So let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Do you think that he is relieved of his duties if what he did wasn't so close to the team? Because I'll just come out and say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cheating, bad,
mm-hmm.
period. Okay?
We got
that out there in the world.
No doubt.
But it has always amazed me, folks who will do the adultery thing with somebody that they work with or a co-worker, you know, something mm-hmm. or other. And to me, they say you don't poo where you eat, right?
Facts.
And I feel like if he was just a bad guy cheating, there are plenty of people in this business who do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it too close to his job.
Correct.
Do you think that's it?
Everybody cheats.
Mm-hmm. What is that from?
I think I was talking about...
I don't think that was a joke.
No, everybody cheats. Mm-hmm. I was not advocating for cheating.
Whoa.
Folks. That was not the case. We were talking about,
you know, that's actually a line in a Candy Burris song. She literally says in the bridge of the song, everybody cheats. Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to Candy.
It was just singing a song.
I would like to think that it's not everybody, but I'm sure
Candy,
it's
Candy.
Decent percentage. I think you're right though. It's too close to the sun.
Yeah.
You're flying too close to the sun with this thing. If this is some girl that we don't know about, that's just a chick that lives in San Antonio and she does this, then no. But it's a player's sister.
That's what did it.
And so that is just, you can't come back into that working environment. That situation is just really, really messy.
Well, it was like Ime Udoka, and he's working right now. But when his deal went down,
mm-hmm.
I think the only reason that he had to go bye-bye is because he was dealing with somebody in the front office's wife or whatever the case was.
Ime Udoka, and he was married to a public figure, which made it loud as well because he was with Nia Long.
Shout out Nia Long.
So,
yes.
Aging like fine wine.
Since the 90s.
And he bounced back, and he's back at Houston. But to your point, I completely understand it. It's interesting, right, JP? Because this is now, for the same franchise, another odd cheating scandal. Because if you remember, Tony Parker, amazing point guard for the Spurs, won all those championships. Brent Berry was his former teammate. And at the time when Tony Parker was with Eva Longoria, there was a cheating scandal that came out because...
Which, shout out to Eva.
Peak. Desperate Housewives, Eva Longoria, undefeated.
Yes.
Undefeated. But Tony Parker was dirty macking with his teammate's wife at the time, and he got called out back in 2010 for a, quote, sexting relationship between he and his teammate's wife. So there's something in the air down there in San Antonio to where these things happen.
I'm thinking about if a teammate was doing that to my wife or girlfriend at the time or whatever the case was, how I would have to react to that.
Is that a clear the locker room? We got to just, as our guy Tybus would say, move some furniture around.
We're moving furniture.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to see me.
One of us might not leave the locker room. I'm being serious. No, like we're supposed to be all in it together. You know, nothing bigger than the team.
It's one of those,
except for your horniness.
Out of all the women in the world,
man.
Out of all of them,
you had
you pick my lady. I get it. Yeah. I get it. Did you Bad ever? Day. Were there ever any? You can leave the names out. Leave the name. Any squabbles in the college or the NFL that you're between teammates where they just had to get it off their chest?
Over women or just generally?
In general?
Yeah, we had some moments.
Okay.
I think it's good. I think clearing the air
I think it's good.
It's a positive thing.
I agree with this. Hey, man, everybody does it.
Everybody cheats.
Mm-hmm. If you clear the air, you have the opportunity to move past it. But if you never address the thing, then it's just going to fester.
I agree. We had, as friends, the 30-second rule. And sometimes it just got there, right? We're just like, all right, put 30 seconds on the clock. And we're just going to get to it.
Y'all was scrapped.
We're just going to get to it. And it would never get crazy. Like, if it got nuts, everybody would come in and break it up. But that there was a 30-second rule, because I agree with that. Sometimes it's just needed.
Yeah.
In a controlled environment, you got people around you. If it gets nuts, you'll break it up. But sometimes you just got to, you know, get some stuff off your chest and off your mind, man. And sometimes just
and move some furniture around.
Throw some hands and move some furniture around. So, yeah, that is one of the odd stories of the day, man. I kind of feel for the guy. And I think the reason why is because we're in a similar business, right? And we in this industry. And so I know what it takes.
Close to home.
No, not that part. But I'm just saying.
That's
like,
what I'm like, wait,
this
where
dude,
are we going?
Man, had to work probably so hard to get this. And well, now it's just
he
poof,
was working
gone.
Hard in many and facets places, of his life.
And other places. That's
still
for sure.
Up and coming. You know?
Jacob Toby. We hardly knew you. 614.
We know you now.
We know you now. Hey, we're giving away right now a family four-pack of tickets to the 28th Summit Racing National. 614-821-9710. We had Phil Steele on earlier, and he mapped out the 2026 college football season. What was his final four? Final four teams in the college football playoff. You get that right. TLC has for you a family four-pack of tickets to the Good Guys. 28th Summit Racing Nationals happening July 10th through the 12th at the Ohio Expo Center. We'll come back from break with pre-snap reads right after the break. We're Rothman and Ice.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a partly cloudy sky for the afternoon. Could be an isolated shower or storm that tries to pop up, but most of that waits for the time being. Highs are warm again in the upper 80s. Scattered showers and thunderstorms develop tonight and tomorrow. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy skies between those rain chances. Highs on Friday in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, before we get into our pre-snap reads for today, TLC, did you find a winner for the family four-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 28th Summit Racing Nationals? Who won?
I did. We got Jacob, and right as I said goodbye, I was like, wait a minute, what part of town are you in? And then I got the hang-up. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know where he is, but somewhere out and about in central Ohio.
Somewhere over the rainbow. Jacob's out there.
He's got a 740 area code, so a little bit further out there.
Okay.
Than the 614.
He could be up in Delaware. Not that far.
Could be.
True that.
Could be hanging out there, but
true that.
Jacob, somebody or another.
Jacob, we appreciate you. Appreciate you listening. He had the correct answer to the question, which was Phil Steele joined us earlier in the show, and we asked him your final four for the upcoming college football season, and it was Notre Dame, Georgia, Texas, and Ohio State. The Natty was Notre Dame taking on them Dogs from Georgia and Notre Dame as his winner in 2026. So again, shout out to you, Jacob. Thanks for listening. We appreciate your time. Have fun at the Summit Racing Nationals. JP, a team for me that I cannot wait to watch in the NFL this year is the Philadelphia Eagles, because I just think there is a lot of uncertainty as far as what the offense specifically is going to look like. Brandon Graham, former Eagle, was there for a long, long time. Borderline Hall of Famer? That'll be an interesting one. Like when you start to
dig into his numbers because he's been a solid player for them for a long time. But either way, Brandon Graham, I believe he was on the NFL Network, and they were asking him about life without A.J. Brown and what the offense may look like. And here's what his breakdown was.
I think it's going to be great this year for both sides because everybody's happy. You know, you don't want to be in-house frustrated over things that sometimes you can't control. And I understand, you know, where he is, where he was when he was here. And as a receiver, I do understand that it's all about production. And some people handle it differently. I mean, I wouldn't have probably handled it the way he did. But at the same time, I can get exactly why he was frustrated. And so I think that it's going to be a great year for both parties because, I mean, he's coming out excited just like the team. I think that them guys are getting better. I seen that they was down in Florida together, and that's something that we haven't had in some years now because of the frustration. So I think it's going to open up a lot of doors for a lot of people, especially Devontae. Can't wait to see the new additions, who kind of takes that lead in training camp as receiver. But I know somebody's going to step up this year, and we played them in training camp this year. So I know.
Oh, yes.
Q and all them boys can't wait to lock up AJ.
Yeah, the trash talking for the joint practices there, which he's talking about, that is going to be, get your popcorn ready. Because the Eagles have two really good corners, as he was mentioning, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. And I always love seeing that, JP, like guys that come from the MAC conference that can turn in to not just players that are on the roster, but dudes. And Quinyon Mitchell was that right away for the Eagles out of Toledo. But yeah, I think if we were stacking up players that we're most interested in going into the upcoming season, high up on the list for me, JP, is going to be Devonta Smith. Because can he be a no-doubt number one in this league? That's the question that I can't wait to get answered. Because if that is true, then I think all the other wide receiver additions that they made, whether guys that were vets in the league or adding Mekhi Lemon from USC, I think those guys can fall into a nice pecking order for them, but they need that horse. He's got some pretty big shoes to fill, as we all know.
So I think I would probably take it a little bit of a different direction when it comes to the Eagles. I know Jalen Hurts is a dude, but they have gone through coordinator after coordinator, and part of it seems like it's because he hasn't had that offense that he really wants to run. And then when you talk about Brown and his departure, part of that is because the offense wasn't necessarily running the way that he would expect it to run. Quarterback who doesn't like to have his back to the defense, doesn't want to go under center. Like, I think that is as big of a storyline in terms of, have they found the guy that he wants to work with in terms of the play caller? Is he willing to make some of the adaptations that they probably need to? Is he going to get more comfortable with the different things pre-snap, right? So the offense isn't so static all the time. Will he get into some heavier play action where he has to turn his back to the defense and you get that Saquon hard fake so you can let guys get over the top of coverage? I think it starts there before we even get to the conversations about Smith and about Mekhi Lemon and any of the other guys who might be playmakers.
To your point about the run game, that was the ultimate tone setter a couple years ago for Saquon Barkley in that unit. They had that offensive line that was arguably the best in the sport connected to an all-world running back with his skill set and Saquon Barkley, and we just saw they had defenses in a bind. You didn't know where the ball was going. You didn't know how many bodies you needed in the box. And all those things that defenses have to work through going up against an opposing offense like that. So I like what you said there, because if that comes back into focus, then obviously life gets very easy, or easier, I should say, for Jalen Hurts. And because that running back quarterback combination, when it's right, is one of the best, no doubt, arguably the best, especially when you get down in the red zone because of Jalen's ability to keep.
I totally agree, but it takes away a little bit of how the run game can affect the pass game when the running back is standing right next to the quarterback and the play action just doesn't feel as aggressive. You mentioned Mekhi Lemon as well. This has nothing to do with what I think. I think he's going to be a good player in the league. He's great at the catch point, smaller dude. I know that was a knock on him. We were in a production meeting getting ready for a USC game, and one of my coworkers said, yeah, I want a high guy highlight that Mekhi guy. He's named after the fruit. And so now every time I think about Mekhi Lemon, I think about that situation. And we were probably 5 weeks into this thing, yeah. which made it even funnier.
You know, it's interesting, right? Because you, when you hear that name, that's what you think of. For me, when I hear his name, I think about the sniping job that the Eagles did on the Pittsburgh Steelers at the draft.
Mm.
Steelers thought they had him, man.
Mm.
Thought they had it in the bag. And Howie Roseman swoops in and says,
he's so good, isn't he?
Hold up, player. Hold up, player. He is really good. I think he's no doubt one of the best GMs, front office personnel people in the sport. Because it just seems like he's aggressive, but not as aggressive as Les Snead.
Yes.
But also, I think Philly does a great job of drafting and developing, especially on defense. Like the defense the last few years, they've done a good job on it.
Let's be clear about some of what they've done on the defense. You guys played for Kirby?
Come on in.
Come on down.
Come on in.
And I don't think that's the worst philosophy in the world.
Because when they were drafting a bunch of the guys that you were mentioning, those were the units for Georgia where it was wave after wave after wave.
It was just guys.
Of just monsters,
they were,
man.
All monsters.
It was unbelievable. And so, yes, I could understand that. Like, you're certain GMs and owners of teams. I always say there are certain stores, a.k.a. programs, that I want to shop at.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, Ohio State, the list goes. Like, we know those are the stores that you want to shop at. For Ohio State, you know, you walk down that wide receiver aisle, you're going to come out and
there's some guys
something,
in there.
Something you like, and a lot more other positions, but I like what you said there. And so let's flip this to now A.J. Brown.
Yes.
Because we talked about Devonta Smith and how maybe that can slot guys in their wide receiver room. I think the same thing could be said now for A.J. Brown and the team that he's a part of, in that being the New England Patriots, because they needed that last year, JP. What has to be first for them is obviously Will Campbell. I mean, what are you, man?
Yeah, dude.
What are you? Because it was embarrassing down the stretch. And so they have to start there with that. If that's not fixed, then this A.J. Brown stuff's not going to matter as much. But their wide receiver room now, I think you lose Stephon Diggs, you bring in A.J. Brown, you make some other moves with some vets. I like where they're at. I like Romeo Doubs, too, JP.
I do, too. And Hunter Henry, who's been in the league, feels like, I mean, he was in my draft class, but it feels like a long time, too. He's another guy who is a good safety blanket, somebody who can keep you on schedule, which I think is something they'll need. I'm curious for the Patriots. Like, I think it was perfect for them last year with some of the youth, maybe inexperience that they had offensively, that their schedule was so soft. And then even their postseason run, it felt like they caught a couple of breaks when they needed them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not the worst thing in the world in terms of confidence building. Because now these guys, they're not looking at it the same way that you and I in the media look at it. They're just like, no, we beat a whole bunch of NFL teams. Like, all those guys are pros getting paid, too.
So
I think that experience for them is going to help elevate even a step from where they were a year
Completely
ago.
Completely agree. The schedule that you touched on, JP, it's real for them right out of the gate.
It is.
Three of the first four games are on the road. Their first four games, rematch of the Super Bowl at Seattle, home against Pittsburgh, which you know what they're bringing to the table. That's going to be a tough day at the office. And then it's at Jacksonville and at Buffalo. Right away. Trevor Lawrence was awesome the second half of the season. I don't think we talked about it enough last year, how good he was along with the Jags. But that we're going to find out about Drake May and company right away through the first month of the season.
You think any of this Vrabel offseason affects his headspace?
I think they're going to get the best Vrabel. I think he's just going to be so locked in to this stuff and this only, that he's already, as we know, a heck of a coach. But I think, and once we get to the season, it'll pop back up again, because that'll be like, oh, recap in the summer and all that stuff. But to me, it feels like it's kind of in the wind for him.
Yeah.
For Rossini.
No, she's kinda, I think she's cooked.
She's getting a little dicey.
It's in the wind.
Yeah.
If they win. Mm-hmm. If not, then people will start bringing up
that it's a distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of that stuff. But Drake May, quarterback two, or just second place finisher is what I'm trying to say, in the MVP a year ago. I've always liked him going back to North Carolina, JP.
Yeah.
And his skill set and what, I mean,
he was a big target for Ohio State.
Yeah. And no doubt. And then so now Travion Henderson and company, I think they surrounded him with some good playmakers. Coming up in 2 minutes, it's a Gold Jacket Thursday. We've been tapping into some of the interviews we've done in the past. What we're going to do today is bring Larry Little into focus, right guard for the 1972 Miami Dolphins. You may have heard of that team. He will talk about that squad and a lot more right after the break. We're Rothman and Ice.
.com. Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
All right, welcome back in. It's a Gold Jacket Thursday here on Rothman and Ice. And this man was the starting right guard with the Miami Dolphins in that perfect season of 72, but so much more. Three straight Super Bowls, including the back-to-back victories in 7 and 8. He was a seven-time All-Pro, voted onto the 70s All-Decade team, and I believe he is one of only 14 men with a bronze bust in Canton who entered pro football undrafted. Enshrined in the class of 93, he is the one and only Larry Little.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Let's start with your enshrinement there. Why was it so important for you to have Don Shula presenting you?
Well, what happened, the year before Shula came to Miami, I had a good career under George Wilson in 1969. But when Don came to Miami, he got the best out of me. Not only Don Shula, but I always have to talk about my offensive line coach at the time also, Monty Clark, who was a great offensive lineman here with the Cleveland Browns. But he was able to get the best out of me. He saw something in me that I really didn't see in myself. And first thing he did was he had to lose 20 pounds. The first time I met him, at this press conference, I went to see him because I was there a year before he came to Miami. And I came and said, Coach Shula, my name is Larry Little. I'm your right guard. The first thing he said to me, how much do you weigh? And I said, 285. He looked at me and walked off, didn't say another word to me. So, right, linemen back then in those days are not like the linemen in today's football. Because he thought I was too big, and this is what happened. He got the best out of me, made me lose 20 pounds, and I guess you can say the rest is history.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Larry, take us inside the locker room of the 72 team, that undefeated team, one of the most historic teams of all time in the National Football League. In your opinion, what made that team so special and led to that undefeated year?
Well, one thing that helped us, well, the year we lost to Dallas the year before, and we felt we were a better football team than what we showed that day, and Dallas really put it on us. The first thing Shula did when he came back for training camp, he showed us a film of that game and said, I know you don't want to have this feeling again, and we didn't. And I think what made that team special, although we lost, but we were still a good young football team. And we felt that if we could put everything together, our team could go a long ways. Although it wasn't in our mind, we didn't even talk about going undefeated. All we talked about is getting back to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl.
He is Larry Little, and he was named the best lineman in the AFC three straight years. All right, so that was a wild undefeated year because, if I remember correctly, Bob Greasy, your quarterback, got injured in the fifth game of the year, and Earl Morrill kind of took you guys, the veteran, kind of remained the starter all the way up through the first half of the AFC Championship game. Shula needs a spark. He pulls him. Greasy takes you the rest of the way. Give me a little bit on that, on how you guys felt at that moment, because Earl was obviously leading you through that year.
Well, first of all, when Bob was hurt, it wasn't gloom and doom for us because we knew we had a very capable backup quarterback at Earl Morrill. And Shula saw his foresight, knowing that Earl could still be a winning-type quarterback because he had played for Shula in Baltimore. He brought Earl in that year in training camp. And the first thing Bob was injured, when Earl came into the game, did everybody be cool now? Everything's going to be all right. And ironically, with the great running backs that we had, Mercury, Zonka, Jim Kidd, a lot of people didn't know this, but Earl had the longest running touchdown for the year. He ran a 37-yard touchdown. But knowing that Earl took us to the Super Bowl, to the AFC Championship, Bob was still our leader. And against Pittsburgh, we were kind of lethargic playing the game. But Shula had the foresight and to take Earl out the game and put Bob in, and Bob took us the rest of the way. But Earl was the one that really took us there, and we all had a great, great respect for Earl. But Bob was the one that we needed to get us over the hump to get to win the Super Bowl.
Larry, I want to ask you about your time at Bethune-Cookman, both as a player and as a head coach. I'm sure that had to be very special for you to go out there on the field and accomplish what you accomplished, but then to come back and do what you did as a head coach. Take us inside that time for you personally.
Well, going to Bethune-Cookman, I only had two scholarships. One went to a small school in Raleigh, North Carolina, by the name of St. Augustine. Another was to Bethune-Cookman. It was during the days of segregation. And I knew no major school was going to recruit me. But, you know, the so-called major schools back in the day, the Tennessee States, the Florida A&M right there in Florida, the Grambling, none of those teams recruited me. And the only opportunity, the only reason I went to Bethune-Cookman, because it was closer to home in Miami, and they being in Daytona Beach. And I knew my parents wouldn't have the money to bring me home on the short holidays like Thanksgiving and holidays like that. So I chose Bethune-Cookman. And it was the best thing that could have happened to me, that going there, my college coach played professional football. He played with the Steelers for 5 years. And he had a pro offense that he brought to us in at Bethune-Cookman. And that helped me to carry over into the thing that we did in pro football when I started my career in pro football.
How did you, when you were developing your skills, how did you make the choice of offensive line or defensive line? Or was kind of the choice made for you?
Well, during those days, you know, you had to play both ways. My first through my junior year, you had to play offense and you had to play defense. My senior year, when they changed the rule, and you could go strictly defense, offense. And they moved me to defensive tackle. I was a nose guard, and I was an All-American nose guard with the at Bethune-Cookman. But I practiced on offense, too, because we didn't have 39, 40 guys on the team. So I was able to practice both ways, and that transition, and I transitioned what I learned there in the pro football when I went to the San Diego Chargers.
Let me ask you again about the 72 season. I'm sure you've been asked 1,000 times, so I'll ask you 1,001. How do you answer the question when people ask you, was your 72 team the best team in the history of pro football?
We were. That's all I can say. And I use the term, too. We had often imitated, but never duplicated. We do not, we still, to this day, don't get the credit for what we accomplished by going undefeated. A lot of people say, you know, we didn't play a tough schedule. But when the season started in 1972, every team was 0-0. So we were the only team to keep going, winning 14 straight games, then winning 3 straight games in the playoffs, and 2 in the playoffs and 1 in the Super Bowl.
Let me ask you a final one. Did Zonka and Manny Fernandez really put a live alligator in Shula's shower?
That's a true story.
And how did Shula take it?
The ironic part about that, Bill Ansbacher, who's the defensive coordinator, he went to take the shower first and saw the alligator. But he didn't tell Shula it was in there. And when Shula came, went in, and he ran out in the hallway butt naked. That's a true story.
that's good. Listen, I knew you guys were a tight group. That truly illustrates it for us. Thanks, my man. Be well. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
It's good stuff right there. Larry Little, part of the 17-0 1972 Miami Dolphins. JP, quick question for you before we go to break. Will we ever see? Next question.
Didn't even get half the question out.
It's just too hard, man.
I think it's so difficult.
It's so difficult. So, and the word parody gets thrown around
in the NFL. I think there's levels to that.
Yeah.
The playing field is much more balanced to me than it is in college football.
But injuries as well and all the different things that happen. Like, you got to have lucky bounces.
I know.
It's just, I think it's too hard of a mountain to climb.
And, like, you got to, you would have to have just an all-star team, like a Pro Bowl caliber roster to just mow through the NFL. And we know that's just not the case. Like, a lot of these, a lot of NFL teams at least have 3 to 4 guys that are dudes.
Right.
Right. And those guys can be difference makers, and that can flip a game against a good team if that guy decides to pop off. So I'm with you. I don't think we see it again either. We'll hit the finish line of the show next. We'll tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.com.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
What kind of steak?
I got a New York strip, 14 ounce.
Can you put away 14 ounces of steak in one sitting?
What are you who are you talking to?
Yes, I did.
Mornings on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us to the crib, big dog. What do you got cooked up, and tell the truth on this Thursday?
So funny enough, believe it or not, Joshua, last week was actually National Be Nice to New Jersey Week. And I think I've already heard some slander today. Why are you not a fan of New Jersey?
Both my parents are from New Jersey. My mom's whole family basically still lives there. And my dad's family had moved away at a certain point. They call it the Garden State. It really should be the Garbage State. I've never been somewhere where the interstate looked dirtier. It's just litter all over the side of the roads. Not a lot of redeeming qualities in my mind. So I am anti-Jersey.
Okay.
Yep. That was a JP-specific question.
You sounded ready to go for that one.
I've answered it many times.
I've heard some people that have made the trip out to Rutgers and their venue.
Yeah, talk it's about nice over there.
Okay. But I heard the facilities aren't that nice.
No.
The press box is like the stadium itself is eh.
They got that stupid cannon, too. So we played them in 2014 at Rutgers. Maybe, no, it was 2015 we played at Rutgers.
Name the final score.
It was... I'm going to say it was 52-10. Fact check me on that. We blew them out. Like, it was not a very close game.
What was the year?
2015.
Okay.
49-7.
Okay, so, again, not a very close game. And they scored a touchdown later in the game, and they fired that stupid cannon. They've got these old dudes, they're cannoneers, and they all dress up, and they're ready to go. When a touchdown is scored by Rutgers.
Even during a blowout. So it looks like that day, I mean, everybody obviously was eating. JT, 14 of 18, 223 and 3. Zeke with 19 carries, a buck 42 and 2, a 55-yarder in that one. And then JT, 13 carries, 101 and 2. So, yeah, you guys were doing whatever you wanted. And then on offense, you guys gave them nothing, JP. Their run game averaged 3.6 a pop that day. That had to be a fun day at the office.
It was a good day.
Fun day at the office for you guys.
I've uncovered some audio.
Don't we all, right? I think this was a hell of a pickup right here. Because when you look at Golden State offense, what do they do well? Move without the ball. Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, two of the best to ever do it. When you look at Moses Moody, what he did in college, boys, him being able to move without the ball.
That was like,
oh my God.
That was like six attempts at that name.
Yeah. The thing I appreciate about it was he tried to just power through it.
Dedicate it.
You know, and like at a certain point, you probably got to just and then restart. But he's like, no. I'm getting this right.
Oh, man. And I love Richard Jefferson jumping in. Moses Moody to save him there.
I think he said Moses Malone.
That was a good call out of you, Cole.
All right, let me see. We're going to count them.
at Moses Moody, what he did in college.
Yeah, that was six attempts.
He had about six of them in.
He got it right. Listen. Moses Moody, he got it on the sixth try.
I'll say this.
There was a lot of Moody, Moses.
And you guys know this. Doing TV, doing radio, you're in front of a camera, behind a microphone long enough, you're going to have some tough moments.
Yeah,
everybody got a low light reel.
Everybody's got one.
You're going to have those moments. And so, unfortunately for Kendrick Perkins, his happens on a national stage in front of the entire world. And so that's going to live on forever and ever and ever. Because when I see Moses Moody as a player, guess what I think about first? What we just heard.
Oh, Kendrick Perkins.
And that's what's
big
tough.
Perk.
But it happens to the best of us.
We all get tongue-tied. We just don't do it five times in a row. So it's fine. Has a fast food chain ever seen you so many times that they remembered your order?
No, thankfully. Okay.
Have you ever been scared that somebody was going to remember you?
So at the Bojangles near my home, that would be the one that I would be scared.
Okay.
I'm in there, used to be, not as of right now. I used to be in there far too much. Are we labeling Chipotle as fast food?
Yeah, fast casual counts in this context.
Okay, so when I was in college, the Chipotle that was around the corner from our apartment, they knew my burrito order as soon as I walked in. Because I didn't have hardly any money. You know, you're pinching pennies in college going to places like Chipotle. It was my burrito. As soon as I walked in, we were there that much, they knew.
How often would you say that you were there?
I would say we were there 2 to 3 times a week.
Oh, yeah, well.
Yeah.
All right.
That'll do it.
The closest I've gotten was when I was an intern in St. Louis. It was an unpaid internship, so I had a job at a Dick's Sporting Goods in a mall. And right beneath the Dick's Sporting Goods was a Chick-fil-A. And so they knew my name, but they never knew my order. So I didn't creep into the category of being way too much to the point where it's like, I can't go here anymore if they know my order. That's a shame on me.
I like that, though. Because it's good customer service.
It is.
Know the name.
Yes.
Make you feel welcome.
Mm-hmm. And it would be Chick-fil-A, wouldn't it?
Yes, but not to the point that they know so much your order, for example, that you feel like you've been there too much.
Actually, you know what? They may not have known my name, but I could tell the way they talked to me that they definitely knew who I was. So we may not have not exchanged names, but I remember going up to the register one time, and they'd like, hey, and like they knew exactly who I was, and I'm like, oh no.
How long ago was this unpaid internship?
2021 summertime.
Feels like we're too far in society to still be doing unpaid internships.
Yeah, like
companies.
No. Well, this is radio during COVID.
Still.
I know. Well, look.
I know. Hey. You get your exposure, get your foot in the door.
I'm with you, JP. These companies, these businesses, they got enough coin to go around. To where you can help out a young college.
A minimum exactly. Wage or something.
Hit them with some coin. Completely agree. Completely agree.
I think I got a $20 tip one time from the boss just because I helped out at some like golf outing for one of the shows.
$20, huh?
I guess.
$20 more than
did you
had
accept
originally.
The $20?
Yeah, I said thanks.
I would have been like, sir, you can keep this.
I remember when I was
He gave me a full-time job the next summer, so it's okay.
So it worked out. When I was bagging groceries at the Kroger in Pickerington, it's one of my first jobs, I'll never forget, on Christmas Eve, strolling out, older gentleman's car, decent amount of groceries, nothing crazy, right? Probably in my mind I was thinking, he could probably handle this himself. Mm. That's what I was honestly thinking. But I'm glad I was the guy that got to go out of there, because I walked away with a $200 tip.
Wow.
As a 16-year-old.
Oh, wow.
One of the best feelings I've ever had. So to me, this was just a dude with a good heart. Because he had, like, honestly, it was like 5 bags that he could. I think he was just in the Christmas spirit wanting to show love.
Well, good.
And I was a lucky guy that day. So I got $200.
I helped a woman
at Kroger last weekend, yeah. As a matter of fact. She had pallets of water.
Okay.
And she was like, can you help me put them in my car?
Done.
She's like, now, hey, you look like a linebacker.
Well, at the way society is,
mm-hmm.
I'm like high alert. Are there other people around? Are they going to try to snatch me and put me in a van? And so I was reluctantly like, yes. And I helped the woman out and it was all fine. But
put you in a van?
There's two ways that this thing ends. Is they give you a $200 tip or you end up in the back of somebody's van.
I don't think they're targeting you.
Well, but don't do it in a parking lot where there aren't witnesses.
Okay.
Good advice. My advice for society.
Good advice.
Okay.
Good advice. I think you could hold your own, though.
Yeah.
I would have been swinging.
I think you would have been. All right. I like your chances.
JP, great to see you again. Appreciate you coming in. TLC, always good job on the board. Folks, we love you. Hope you guys have a great day. Hey, coming up next, it's Common Man and Timmy. They're going to take you to 6 o'clock. Don't move. It's Too Hot Thursday with our boy Teddy. Timmy, Common Man coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We will talk to you tomorrow at high noon. We're Rothman and Ice.